What's that?
It's almost a rain out.
Oh, I know.
Skies over here. Yeah, he's not in this room right now, but he's around this room.
I tweeted this out too and I tagged Nevada Baseball.
is out.
It was a long one today, Ice.
That's what she said.
I went to set up at like about 11:30.
I'll squat. We're good.
Oh, it's being used over here.
What's that?
You want it?
No.
Is it always taller than you?
I can grab it.
No, it's fine.
No. Don't. No, it's too much shit. It's fine. No, there's no. Seriously, it'd make my life harder if you did it.
What about?
But at least you'll look good now, right?
Oh, Yeah, now it's now.
Now to Too Tall Jones.
But you can, yeah, so I said.
Now, it's all good. It's too late.
2 minutes. I would both,
2 minutes
oh,
away.
Put your heels on the black line, coach.
Black line? I'll squat a little bit. There we go.
You're good. You're fine.
Graphic open. Yep. So 90 seconds till they roll the open. Make sure when they roll that open, the undo sweep.
Do we look at each other during this conversation?
Yeah,
or we
go back and forth.
Go back and
forth.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no right and wrong answer.
Okay.
Like when you're talking, I'll probably look at you, give a quick glance over here. And
okay.
Can you swoosh this way, both of you, just a little bit? And can you take a small step back? 30 seconds. Too soon. 30 seconds. Yeah, keep stepping back a little bit more.
Me too, or just go?
I can squat a little bit. Is that better if I squat?
I got 15 seconds.
Look at that. A little wide tight action.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Undo sweep 9.
Good evening, everybody, from Greater Nevada Field in downtown Reno. Welcome to Reno Aces Baseball on Nevada Sportsnet, along with the first-year head coach of Nevada Baseball, Jake McKinley. I'm Zach Beirutti. So glad to have you with us. It's game three of this series. The Aces, the AAA affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Salt Lake Bees, the AAA affiliate of the Los Angeles Angels. Coach, first of all, it's great to have you here. Welcome to Northern Nevada. I know the fans are going to get to know you, but it's going to be great for you to get to know the pro side of things here in Reno.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here, and I've got to walk around the stadium. I got to get on a bird scooter, ride around downtown Reno a little bit. Just love this area. Everybody's been great so far, and it's great to see pro baseball, especially AAA baseball, present here in Reno.
Well, you're very familiar with the program. You were with the Brewers for a long time. We'll get into that. But for the Aces, they've split these two games with Salt Lake to start this series. And the big loss for Reno was the Arizona Diamondbacks game. Stone Garrett, the PCL leader in home runs and RBIs, being promoted. And he's doing well, off to a great start with the D-backs, but obviously a very stacked Reno lineup.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's one of the things when somebody like that goes up to the big leagues, it just presents opportunities for younger guys to come up and make an impact on the AAA club. So it's just going to open up an opportunity for guys that maybe weren't getting as much playing time at the AAA level or somebody at the AA level to come up. But this Diamondbacks upper minor level league system is obviously stacked, and this should be good opportunities for somebody else.
Quickly, Corbin Martin is making the start tonight, a guy that's been up and down. Obviously, at this level, for a prospect like him, every start is critical.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that goes the same for, like, just any AAA starter. I mean, there's just so much fluidity at the major league level. So every start matters, and hopefully he comes out and gives him a quality start tonight.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and have first pitch. It's the Aces and the Bees here on Nevada Sportsnet.
Yeah.
Welcome back inside Greater Nevada Field, and welcome to Aces Baseball on Nevada Sportsnet, along with Jake McKinley, Zach Beirute. So glad to have you with us for Game 3 of this series, the Reno Aces and the Salt Lake Bees. Let's quickly run down the starting lineups as we're about to get started here. For the Bees, leading off, the third baseman, Jake Gatewood, batting second, the center fielder, Steven Duggar. Hitting third, designated hitter, Braxton Martinez. The cleanup batter, first baseman, Mike Ford. Hitting fifth at second base, Jose Gomez, batting sixth. In right field, Orlando Martinez, batting seventh, the left fielder, Torrey Hunter Jr. Hitting eighth at shortstop, Jake Palamaki, batting ninth, the catcher, Anthony Mulrine. For the Reno Aces, leading off, the third baseman, Giancarlo Cintron, batting second, the center fielder, Corbin Carroll, hitting third, second baseman, Wilmer Defoe. Cleanup batter back from the D-backs, first baseman, Seth Beer, hitting fifth and left, Buddy Kennedy, batting sixth in right field, Dominic Canzone, and rounding out the order for Reno, batting seventh, the catcher, Dominic Maroglio, hitting eighth, the designated hitter, Jose Herrera, and batting ninth, the shortstop, Camden Duzenac. Our home plate umpire is Sam Birch. He will be calling the balls and strikes, and he actually will be tonight. We'll delve into that here in a moment. Tyler Olson is the first base umpire across the way at third. It's the crew chief, Lou Williams. And Corbin Martin, the right-hander, delivers, and the first pitch of our ball game is at 6:36 p.m. Pacific time, and it misses for ball one. The game time temperature here in Reno is 78 degrees under partly cloudy skies as the 1-0 pitch is swung on and fouled back by Gatewood. And a count even at one ball and one strike. And welcome to our audience joining us on our radio simulcast as well here on the Aces Digital Network. Great to have you with us. And Jake, great to have you here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here. It's crazy to see Jake Gatewood, former Brewer, actually coached Gatewood a few years ago. So see him hitting leadoff, big power there in a leadoff spot.
Yeah, and I know the fans are going to get to know you a little bit as that's bounce foul, third base side. You're going to be obviously the head coach in your first season with the Wolfpack. But a little bit about your background. You were with the Brewers and very recently.
Yeah, absolutely. I spent the last 4 years with the Brewers, started out as the minor league pitching coordinator, became the director of player development, and moved into the VP of player development role in the last year.
Here's the 1-2 on the way, and it's swung on and fouled back to the netting, so it stays one ball and two strikes. And back to the coaching ranks, and had you coached before this, and what was your background in coaching?
Yeah, for sure. So I was a college coach for 13 years prior to joining the Brewers, so mostly at the small college level, my alma mater, Bethany University, Campbellsville University, West Valley College, Sacramento State.
As Gatewood swings and skies one, this is going to be third base foul territory, now left field foul territory, and it's going to get back into the seats and out of play.
Yeah, so after Sacramento State jumped over to Menlo College, was my first head coaching gig. I was 28 years old. So did that, and then went over to William Jessup University, actually over in the Rockland area, just over the hill. And, so jumped from William Jessup to the Brewers. So that's kind of my, cliff notes of my journey so far.
And what great experiences on both ends, both the amateur side and the pro side. As the pitch is swung on and pulled to the left side, it's going to be a diving try by Cintron. He doesn't get it. Duzenac does, though, and his throw to first is not in time as Gatewood is able to leg it out up the line. It'll be an infield single for Jake Gatewood. Now he's reached base in 13 straight games. And a nice effort by Cintron and a fine job backing that up by Duzenac. And that looked awfully close. I thought maybe he got him.
Yeah, that was a really good play. I mean, he threw that thing off balance, too, just kind of falling back into left field, like that low slot right there. Pretty impressive accuracy there.
So that is how the ball game begins. And Steven Duggar will come up next. And Duggar playing in his first game with Salt Lake. He was just sent down by the Angels. And Duggar's had a whirlwind of a year. So Duggar getting his first at-bat with Salt Lake. He'd been with the Angels for 9 games. And the pitch to Duggar is in for a called strike. And in those 9 games, Duggar went to 1-for-19. So he's looking to get back on track. And he began this season with the team that originally drafted him, the Giants. And then his journey took him to the Rangers and then the Angels, and now here in Salt Lake. As the pitch is swung on, pulled to the right side. Diving stop by Beer. To his feet, throws to second for one. There'll be no return throw, but a fine play by Seth Beer at first base, who has been spectacular at first base this season. He is much improved over there.
Man, that was a really good play there. I think the thing that's important there when you see the first baseman there, like, pop off, it's a lot of times I think those guys take that play for granted. Like, it's a really, like, loose jump off the bag there. So you can see Seth is, he takes that secondary jump off the bag really, really well there. So that's impressive to see.
Outfield straight away for Braxton Martinez in his 6th game with Salt Lake, and Martinez will take a strike, and it is nothing and one. Martinez came up from Double-A Rocket City, and Martinez, a guy that was not drafted out of St. Louis, as a throw to first, and diving back goes Duggar.
Man, that's funny with Duggar, too. You were just saying he was one for his last 19. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Man, he smoked that ball, too. That's just, man, when you're not going good, you're not going good, right?
What's Ron Washington's famous saying? That's how baseball goes. That swung on and chopped to short. So he gloved nicely on a short hop by Duzenac. A second for one. Turn to first for two. And a double play goes 6-4-3. And Corbin Martin and the Aces are out of it in the first inning after the leadoff single. No runs, one hit, no errors. And after that twin killing, none left. And we played half an inning at Greater Nevada Field. It's the Bees nothing. The Aces coming up on Nevada Sportsnet. Bottom of the first inning, no score. Aces baseball on Nevada Sportsnet. Zach Baberty and Jake McKinley, so glad to have you with us tonight as Giancarlo Cintron will lead it off for the Aces. And he'll face Jake Lee, right-hander for the Bees. And Lee is making his first Triple-A start. It's his third Triple-A appearance. And this is his first bit of Triple-A time. And a Michigan native deals to Giancarlo Cintron. It's in for a called strike. And it's nothing in one. The defense behind him, the outfield left to right, Torrey Hunter Jr., Steven Duggar, Orlando Martinez is the 0-1. And a swing and a foul ball pulled off to the third base on deck area. The infield third to first, Jake Gatewood, Jake Palamaki, Jose Gomez, Mike Ford, Anthony Mulrine behind the plate. And the aforementioned right-hander Lee is on the bump, a native of Highland, Michigan, out of Milford High School. He attended Oakland University and Hillsdale College. Pitch is swung on and fouled off to the right, so it stays nothing and two on Giancarlo Cintron.
Oakland University, they've produced pretty good players, actually. Small school up in Michigan.
Yeah.
I think Mike Brasso is an Oakland guy. Almost positive.
You very well could be right. And actually, I'm not going to look it up. Here's the 0-2, and it is low, and it's one ball and two strikes. We'll find out for sure. But this is kind of uncharted territory here, Jake, for Jake Lee.
Yeah.
You know, third Triple-A appearance, first Triple-A start, and I'm sure these moments feel like a big stage for someone that was just drafted in 2018, as that pitch is going to hit Duzenac.
Yeah, I think we've seen that happen.
Or hit Cintron, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, I think we've seen that happen, especially with COVID. Guys have been accelerated through the systems much more rapidly and aggressively than maybe past. So for a guy like this, I think it's tricky. Like when you're making that first Triple-A start, the initiative from the pitching coach is probably like, go out there one inning at a time, just like you're coming out of the bullpen. You just got to stack good innings on top of each other. Much easier said than done in an environment like this, but that's got to be the plan.
One of the deep dives I want to do with you tonight is the pitch is going to be taken by Carroll for a strike. It's nothing and one. I want to talk about how COVID kind of changed the DNA of what organizations are doing in the last couple of years. Because, you talk about the five-round draft in 2020, and like you said, guys being accelerated through the system. So we'll get into that as a throw to first and a Cintron able to dive back.
Yeah, I think you'll need to have me for the entire rest of the season if we want to, just break down all those mechanics. It's a lot of new things.
We'll do the cliff notes.
Yeah, we'll do the cliff notes.
Right. Cintron, the runner at first base, again with Carroll in from the left side. Giancarlo has four steals and five attempts. He's going to go here. The throw is going to bounce, but it'll still be in time. And the throw was taken by Gatewood, who was covering the bag in the shift. So it's a caught stealing 2-5 at second if you're scoring at home. And throw bounce, but on one easy hop for Gatewood. So again, caught stealing 2-5. That's a sixth time in 10 tries that Cintron's been caught trying to steal. Pitch to Carroll is up and away. And a count, 2-1. Carroll batting .310, 4 homers and 17 runs batted in. Leaves 2-1 is up high, and it's 3-1. The only time that Lee had had before coming to Salt Lake was with the Complex League club. He had double-A time last year, but it was just with the Complex League this year. That's in for a strike, and it's 3-2.
Yeah, I think you're just seeing more of that, like guys that just haven't had that traditional matriculation through the minor league system.
As Carroll is down on strikes, that is strike three called, and while we're at it, with Carroll being rung up and being the first player to get rung up in this game, normally it's automatic balls and strikes, but the ABS system is down, not sure why here today, so it actually is Sam Birch, the home plate umpire, calling the balls and strikes. I know you were excited to see the ABS.
Yeah, so I had never actually seen it live. So I had seen it with TrackMan in the year before, but it's Hawkeye here, right?
It's Hawkeye.
Yeah, so with TrackMan, I always thought it was really good going east to west, but north-south was a problem just because hitter heights were just so variable. I don't think it adjusted well for that. So guys were getting rung up, like breaking balls low was a huge touch point. But I've heard Hawkeye's way better, and I've heard it's pretty consistent.
It's been pretty consistent. There have only been a couple of instances where I felt like it's been off, as the 1-1 pitch is going to be taken off the outside by Wilmer Defoe, who's batting .295 with 7 homers and 41 runs batted in.
It's funny now, that pitch right there, the catcher, at least from this angle, he made it look good. I'm so curious what Hawkeye would have said that. We don't have that visual.
2-1 is swung on and shot to short. That's gloved neatly by the third baseman, Gatewood, who is playing shortstop there in the shift. And it is a 5-3 putout that ends the inning, and Gatewood was really in the mix there on that caught stealing and then that nifty glove on that ball put in play by Defoe. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. An inning in the books at Greater Nevada Field. It's nothing-nothing. The Bees and the Aces on Nevada Sportsnet. Top of the second inning and scoreless. The Aces and the Bees on Nevada Sportsnet. Zach Beirute, Jake McKinley. Great to have you with us here on NSN and on the Aces Digital Network if you're tuning in on the radio side. It'll be Mike Ford in from the left side to begin this top of the second facing Corbin Martin, who faced the minimum despite allowing a leadoff single in the first. Martin induced a 6-4-3 inning-ending double play off the bat of Braxton Martinez. So Ford in from the left side, and he takes low, ball one. Ford batting .269 with 2 homers and 5 runs batted in.
I think one of the things that we're seeing from Martin early on is everything is down, even the breaking stuff's the bottom of the zone. He's inducing ground balls. I think it was infield single, even the leadoff single he gave up.
Yep.
So you just like to see that from a pitcher early on. Like it shows you signal that he's going to have a chance to pitch you deep into a game.
Talk about a guy that's had an odyssey of a year, Mike Ford, as that pitch is low. And it's 3-0. Ford was playing with Tacoma to start this season, obviously AAA for the Mariners. He had a walk-off home run on April 9th versus Salt Lake to beat him 1-0, and now he's playing for Salt Lake. As there's a swing and a liner into right center field and a base hit on a 3-0 pitch. Ford cut loose a 93-mile-an-hour fastball, and he deposits it into the right center. And a leadoff single for a second straight inning for Salt Lake.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what happens, too, when you get down, you know, 3-0 in a count. You can just hunt a certain pitch like that. And 3-0 these days is just, it's basically a swing count. I mean, like, we don't see a lot of red lights anymore in 3-0 counts.
So I was going to ask you, are you for cutting hitters loose on 3-0?
Almost in all cases, yes. I mean, there's you know, certain cases where you don't. But, I mean, shoot, for the most part, pitching has just gotten so good. Pitchers can command multiple pitches, especially in 3-1 counts, and sometimes, like, you just know that a 3-0 count is the best pitch you're going to get. So you can hunt a certain zone. You just have to be selective.
Pitch misses outside. And the count, 1-1. You know, there are a couple of different schools of thought. When I was growing up in professional baseball, you know, for my career, I was with the Oakland A's, and they were still kind of at in the end of that Moneyball era. As a throw to first, and a backstanding goes forward, and they did not allow players to swing 3-0 in those days. And now you're seeing it more and more. So it's kind of a different school of thought.
Absolutely, and I think I've evolved as a coach. I don't think I was ever really willing to let a player swing 3-0 when I was younger. But again, like, we've just seen pitching evolve so much where we realize it's maybe the best pitch they're going to get to hit. But shoot, as a player, I don't know if I ever swung 3-0 as a player, and I'm sure it didn't go well if I did. But, yeah, it's just becoming common. It's like the new 2-0 count.
2-1 is in for a strike in the count now. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Obviously, situationally, you know, it's predicated on the situation. There are certain situations you're going to be okay doing it, like Ford, and certain situations you're probably going to take no matter what. But to your point, after this 2-2 from Martin, to the right-handed hitting Jose Gomez, and the pitch is swung on slap the other way. This is to the second baseman, Defoe. He goes to Duzenac for one. Duzenac fires to first in time for two. And for a second time in as many innings, Corbin Martin able to induce a double play. This one goes 4-6-3.
Yeah, and kind of like we were saying earlier, he's executing pitches, especially when he's ahead in the count. He's shown that so far in the game. He got really, really weak swing there. Like, looked like the hitter slowed his swing down. And that's tailor-made double play right there.
So with that, two away, and Orlando Martinez, the reigning PCL player of the week, in from the left side. And the pitch is swung on and lifted toward the left field corner. It'll send Kennedy back, angled to his right, and Kennedy will make the catch. Tucked inside fair territory down and left, and that ends the inning. There's one last point I want to bring up about the 3-0 count, and we'll get into that when we come back. No runs, one hit, no errors, and none left. And we go to the bottom of the second, still scoreless in downtown Reno on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Seth Beer makes his return to Greater Nevada Field. Beer was just sent down the other day by the Diamondbacks. 2 days ago, technically, I believe, is when he was optioned back. So Beer batting 249, 12 home runs, and 49 runs batted in. Seth arrived here yesterday and is back in the lineup for the Aces today and in the cleanup spot. Seth batting 249 again with the Aces this season. Shift on to the right side, and the pitch is taken for a called strike, and it's nothing and one. He'll be followed by Buddy Kennedy and Dominic Canzone. Zach Bayritti, Jake McKinley, the new head baseball coach at Nevada, as that pitches in for a strike and the count nothing and two. By the way, Wolfpack weekend this weekend, and part of the reason Jake is here with us is it's Wolfpack weekend at Greater Nevada Field, as it's swung on by Beer and lifted to left center field. Angled back to his right is Duggar, and Steven Duggar does a nice job tracking it down in the alley out in left center for out number one. So Beer trying to shoot the gap in his first AB back, and Duggar not having it. It's a nice catch.
That was a really good at-bat by Beer, too. It's just, it's one of those situations where you don't really want to change your approach after that. Frustrating, though, as a hitter, man.
Went away, and Buddy Kennedy in from the right side. But to Wolfpack weekend, so we'll have some guests on the broadcast this weekend. On Friday, in particular, have some Wolfpack guests as that pitch is in for a strike. And it's nothing in one. And then a bucket hat giveaway on Saturday.
So, fun fact, I'm actually throwing out the first pitch tomorrow.
I was going to get there.
I was debating because I saw the one today, and she didn't make it to the plate. I'm debating if I go in front or if I go up on the mound.
Stop it. Is that swung on and grounded to third? It's going to be taken by Gatewood, and he'll throw across the diamond to first to get Kennedy for out number two. So two up and two down in Dominic Canzone. You're really contemplating not throwing from the rubber?
I mean, you know, 60 feet, 6 inches. I'm going to see if I can play a little bit of catch maybe beforehand.
What kind of message does that send to your players?
I know. You're right. But I don't know how many of them are going to be at the park tomorrow. But, no, you know what? I'll be a pro. I'll get up on the mound, and we'll let it rip. But a lot of pressure there. President of the school is going to be there. So, you need to throw a strike. Big deal.
Lee's first pitch to Canzone will miss for ball one. You think Sandoval will crush you if you bounce it?
Absolutely. Crush me. I think he'll crush me if it's out of the strike zone.
That one is a strike on the inside corner, and it's 1-1. Well, TJ Bruce set a high standard, you know?
Yeah. Oh, was he pretty good first pitch guy?
No, I'm just talking about, like, representing Nevada baseball. I mean, this is going to be, like, your first
for sure.
Your first public appearance on that kind of stage.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's been on my mind quite a bit. It'll be my second career first pitch, and my first one was like a high arm side miss.
That is lofted toward left field foul territory, and Torrey Hunter with a long pursuit. He was checking the sidewall at the last moment as he was decelerating, and I think that bounced in front of him. We don't have the best view of it, but it was the back of the tarp. I don't think it hit the netting, but obviously understandable. Torrey Hunter Jr. not wanting to run himself into the sidewall there, had to give it a look-see, and I just don't think the rhythm was there for him to keep going to make that catch.
Yeah, that's one of those plays, especially in Reno. I was thinking about, like, you know, what we'll work on in the fall. Like, pop-up priorities are going to be a big deal here just because it's so windy. So I think on that play is going to be a tricky one at our field. Like, they're going to have to get to the wall first, like sprint to the wall, feel for the wall, and then adjust off that.
1-2 is strike three called on the outside corner. So Canzone is rung up, and that is the second strikeout for Jake Lee, and it punctuates a perfect inning for him, his first clean inning of the night, and nothing across for the Aces in the second. So we go to the third, scoreless at Greater Nevada Field. The Aces and the Bees on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. No score, top of the third inning. The Aces and the Bees, game three of a six-game series. And Torrey Hunter Jr. will lead it off for Salt Lake. Be followed by Jake Palamaki and Anthony Mulrine, facing Corbin Martin, who's induced two double plays in each of the first two innings. One to end the first, and the second double play came after a leadoff single from Mike Ford in the second, and Hunter will swing and miss, and it's nothing in one. How old does it make you feel watching Torrey Hunter Jr.?
Oh, man, absolutely old. I used to root for his dad as a kid. He was unbelievable.
Unreal,
right?
Center
fielder.
Pitch is taken outside, and it's 2-0.
But you're seeing some of that too, right? You got Tatis Jr., I think Dante Bichette's son, Biggio.
Yeah.
There's a couple second-generation players in the big leagues right now that kind of age you.
Pitch is swung on and missed in the count 2-2. Hunter is playing in his 11th game this season with Salt Lake. 54 games this season with their AA club in Rocket City, but Hunter had 5 games here with Salt Lake last season, get his feet wet, but in 10 games he's batting .235, no homers, 1 RBI. Hit a home run last season with Salt Lake. His only AAA homer is that pitch is low, and it's 3-1. He hit it at Smith's ballpark, and he pulled it down the left field line, and it actually landed on his dad's banner.
Wow.
His dad has a banner there. He was one of their greatest players of all time. As that swung on and grounded to short, it's going to be gloved by Duzenac. And on the move, transfer and throw to first to get Torrey Hunter Jr., and that's out number one.
And so you said that was his only home run of the year?
His only home run in AAA.
Oh, my
God. Right off his dad's banner at Smith's ballpark. How do you like that?
That is that's one for the ages right there.
One away for Jake Palamaki, the shortstop, who's in from the left side. He's batting .311, a home run, and 20 runs batted in. Corbin Martin delivers, and it's swung on foul tipped in the mitt of Marolio for strike one. The third baseman, Cintron, with both feet on the infield grass. And the rest of the infield is pushed back. Beer is about midway between the infield and outfield grass in the 0-1. And that's bounced in the dirt and to the backstop. So it's 1-1 to Palamaki. Corbin Martin facing a team, Jake, and he's faced them now this season 3 times if you include tonight. But struck out 13 in Salt Lake on June 21st as that is off the outside. And it's 2-1. He went 5 2/3 innings in that game, 13 strikeouts to 1 walk. And then his next outing versus Salt Lake was later that series, and he didn't make it out of the first. 2/3 of an inning, he allowed 5 runs on 5 hits, as that is going to make it 3-1.
Yep.
So Charles Dickens, best of times, the worst of times in that series for Corbin Martin.
I used to hear from a...
It's going to be hit foul outside of first and up the right field foul territory.
My dad used to say this to me, and I think I heard it from another Little League coach, is that when you pitch, sometimes you're the bug and sometimes you're the windshield. You know what I mean? And sometimes you can do everything right, and the ball just, doesn't bounce your way. And it sounds like that. And it's tough. It's tough in the same week to pitch against the same lineup twice. Professional hitters are good at making adjustments.
Martin, who was delivery in the 3-2, is swung on and missed, and that was a half-hearted wave by Palamaki. And with that, Corbin Martin picks up his first strikeout, and he's looking sharp here early on. That was a good breaking ball to the outside.
Yeah, it's one of those sword swings we might see on Pitching Ninja a little bit later. But, I think the thing so far that I'm seeing with him that's so impressive is just his ability to mix his pitches, and he's throwing his entire arsenal regardless of count right now, so this opposing lineup really can't sit on anything.
Pitches in for strike to Anthony Mulrine, and it's nothing in one to Mulrine. No score. We're in the top of the third inning. And Mulrine swings and lines one to shallow center field, and that'll drop in front of Corbin Carroll for a base hit. So Mulrine with his first hit of the season for Salt Lake, and he extends this top of the third.
It's a good piece of hitting by Mulrine right there, especially like an 0-1 breaking ball like that, bottom of the zone. Didn't try to do too much with it. Kind of hit the ball where it was pitched. It's a good piece of hitting by the 9-hole hitter. Good pitch there, too.
For Mulrine, he got his first AAA hit last season. He had 2 hits in 5 games with Salt Lake, but that's his first hit with the Bees this year. That swung on and missed by Jake Gatewood, and it's nothing in one. Gatewood, an infield single to begin the ballgame. A throw to first, and diving back goes Mulrine. You obviously got to see a lot of Jake Gatewood with the Brewers.
I did, yeah. I got to see Jake Gatewood a lot. I got to know Jake Gatewood a little bit, too. And great human being. He's a really, really good guy. Light tower power, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had him. I mean, he was a premier. I want to say Jake Gatewood was a first or a second rounder, actually. Really, really high pick. But, yeah, big-time power. Great kid, though. I'm actually going to make a point of it and say hello to him tomorrow on the field.
And he looks the part, too. I mean, he's huge.
Oh, yeah, he's jacked.
He was the 41st overall pick of the Brewers in 2014. Clovis High School, Central Valley, California.
Yeah, that's right. A Fresno guy.
Pitch misses down and in, and it's one ball and two strikes. 6'5". He's not quite Aaron Judge, but Aaron Judge, another Central Valley guy, attended Fresno State, but from Linden, just outside of Stockton. 1-2 is swung on and popped up first base foul territory. Beer angled to his left on the warning track. Will make the catch, and that ends the inning. Gatewood is now 1-for-2, and Corbin Martin works around the two-out single by Mulrine in the third. No runs, a hit, no errors, and a man left. Through 2.5, it remains 0-0 on Nevada Sportsnet, the Aces Digital Network. Aces coming up in the bottom of the third inning. Dominic Maroglio, Jose Herrera, and Camden Duzenac, the bottom third of the order to face Jake Lee. And Lee has retired 5 in a row since hitting Giancarlo Cintron to begin the bottom of the first. Cintron was subsequently caught stealing, so Lee's faced the minimum through 2. And he'll get Maroglio here to start the third, batting .276, 9 homers, and 32 runs batted in. And Dom swings and pops the first pitch up in a tricky spot toward the right field line. Martinez goes into foul territory, as does Ford. But neither can get there, and Maroglio is still alive and behind 0-1.
You brought up Aaron Judge before the last break, and that was another guy I actually coached against when I was at Sac State. So he was at Fresno State when I was there. Funny story about him, I remember we had beat him all night with just like 88 mile an hour fastballs. It was late, and our closer threw 96. And I was in the bullpen with our closer. I said, "Hey, just, you know, Judge is late all night. Just throw him a fastball." Ninth inning, 2-run lead. First pitch, 96 miles an hour. I think you know where this is going. You hit it over the scoreboard in left center field. Terrible coaching. But yeah, that's my Aaron Judge story for you. Great player.
Well, was the 88 mile an hour fastball below hitter speed for Aaron Judge?
He was late all night. That was the thing. I was like, no, he must be like hunting breaking balls or something.
Maroglio fouls that one back. It stays 0-2 on Dominic.
Yeah, so then it was like, okay, well, if we have a closer that's throwing 8 miles an hour harder than starter, like, let's just go with that.
That logic would apply, right?
One would think, but that's one of many mistakes I have made as a coach.
No balls and two strikes to Maroglio. The pitch is in the dirt. And to count 1-2, going to be followed by Jose Herrera and Camden Duzenac. The outfield is straight away. The infield is balanced. 2 on either side of second. Lee backsteps in the 1-2, and Maroglio takes in the dirt, and it's 2-2. Maroglio, I know you haven't seen him all year, but been an impressive player to watch, a guy out of USF, and he has grinded out some terrific at-bats. And for me, he had the at-bat of the year a couple of weeks ago in Salt Lake. It was a Friday, or in Vegas. It was a Friday game in Vegas. He had a pinch-hit home run as that swung on and chopped to third. On one bounce taken near the dirt by Gatewood, who collects and throws to first to get Marolio, and there's one down here in the third inning. But it was a 3-2 count, one on, and the ace is down to their final strike. Marolio's up there as a pinch hitter, which is hard to do in and of itself, let alone with the game on the line. He's facing a guy that was throwing, you know, 97, 98, and he sat on a 3-2 slider after fouling off pitch after pitch and crushed it over the left field fence. And you know, as anyone, in the course of a long season, at-bats like that are sometimes the centerpiece of a really great season, and the aces are in the midst of a great run right now as Herrera takes that pitch for a strike.
Yeah, those are the kind of things that can just, like, catalyze a team or just give us so much momentum. It takes something like courage to sit on a slider in that situation, too, because everybody in the stadium probably thinks fastball's coming, 3-2 count, game on the line like that. Speaks a lot to the player.
It was Garrett Acton of Vegas, and it was on the 5th of this month, a swing and a foul back. Garrett Acton was the pitcher. And Marolio came up, and on that 3-2 pitch with the aces down to their final strike, cranked one over the left field fence. One ball, two strikes to Herrera, who is also recently optioned back from the D-backs. Jose batting .231 in his short time back. No homers, two ribbies. He swings and taps that one foul first base side. What was the most challenging element as a player development guy, working with guys that have been optioned back?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's tricky about that is just making sure that they know that it's not the end of the road. It's discouraging. I mean, there's really no easy way to do it, right? Like, if somebody's in the big leagues, like you're at the very highest level.
Herrera taps that one foul up the first base side.
And, you see this environment in AAA, and it's great. Like, AAA is an outstanding level of the minor leagues. It's the best level of the minor leagues, but it's still not the big leagues. You know what I mean? And there's really nothing you can say to a player that's going to make him feel good about being optioned. But I think, like, you know, being really, really honest with them about what the future looks like. And for most of these guys, it's not the end of the road. And a lot of times it's just roster mechanics is the reason that they're going down.
1-2 taken up and away, and it's two balls and two strikes.
But I think it takes a lot of maturity for a player, especially while they still have options.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of maturity to handle the ups and the downs of being optioned.
That one swung on and cracked foul off to the left. It stays 2-2.
But I think it's also important for the organization to communicate that they value the player. You know what I mean? And I think that was something, with the Brewers, I think we did a good job of that. Because the Brewers utilize the AAA level a ton. So
Herrera swings and loops this one foul into Herrera, spoiling pitch after pitcher. That one knocked someone's beer out of their hand. Whoops.
Tonight that's only a $2 mistake, right?
That's great. That's right. Let's go get another one. It's Thursday. Just run it back. There it is, collecting the sad empty cup, and he's holding the baseball up there.
Thank you, fan favorite.
It's a swing and a pop-up. This is going to be to right field shallow. Coming in and to his right is the right fielder Martinez, who makes the catch. And that is out number two. So two up and two down for Lee. And for Lee, he's found himself a nice little groove. That's seven in a row retired, and now he'll face Duzanak, the ninth place hitter.
Looks like that might be the end of the road, actually.
Yeah, this had to have been a planned short start for Jake Lee. Wasn't sure how long he was going to go. So Luis Leto is coming on for the Bees, and it'll be a call to the bullpen break here from Greater Nevada Field with the bases empty and two outs in a scoreless game. And Jake and I are back after this on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Luis Leto is the new pitcher for the Bees, and Leto takes over with the bases clear and two outs in the bottom of the third, and he'll face Camden Duzenac, who's batting .246 with nine homers and 37 runs batted in, and Duzenac takes a called strike. Duzenac had three doubles last night. And for the Aces, it was the 16th time in franchise history the player had doubled three times in a game. No one's done it four times. He swings and lines that toward the alley in right center field. Over to cut it off is the center fielder Duggar, and Duzenac slipped and fell as he was making a wide turn around first, but he's able to get back to the bag. And Camden Duzenac was trying for a double there. He almost had it, but a nice job to cut it by Duggar.
Really great turn there. And you know, it makes you wonder if maybe he was on, if Lee was on a pitch count. Because he was cruising.
Well, yeah, we were just talking about that. And that's one of the things that, it bugs me when I see stuff like that. And I know every organization and every situation is different. That pitch is swung on and missed, and it's nothing in one. But I wish there was a little more feel when it came to letting guys maybe get through the third inning. You know, how much better does it sound for Jake Lee, one of your young pitchers, to say, hey, I got through three pretty clean AAA innings as opposed to two and two-thirds. That's off the outside, and it's one and one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I wrong in that,
no,
in that logic? No. You're the player development guy. And
I totally agree with you. I mean, and he was actually really, really efficient tonight, too. He's throwing a ton of strikes. I don't know. You know, maybe they're trying to plan something here for Leto, like simulate him getting out of an inning. But I think when you're this close to the big leagues, you know, being able to make big pitches for a young starter like this is critical. So you always wonder what the thinking there is. But, yeah, I'm kind of on the same page. Like, let him get through three innings.
Here's the 1-1, and a swung on and missed by Cintron, and it's 1-2, or at least give him one more batter, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, if he gets a base runner on, make a move, sure. That's always the deal I make with pitchers, because they never want to come out. So that's always the deal I make. Like, we'll give you one base runner here.
One ball and two strikes to Cintron, and a pitch is swung on and tapped back off the glove of Leto. It's going to deflect toward the shortstop, and Palamaki will not have a play. So that was a tapper back toward the mound. It grazes off the webbing of the glove of Luis Leto. And once it got into that area of the infield, it was going to be really tough to get Giancarlo Cintron regardless, and the Palamaki could not barehand it cleanly. So a moot point, and the Aces have an infield single, their first hit of the ballgame. Or I beg your pardon, their second hit of the ballgame. Back-to-back hits here with two outs off Leto.
One of those tricky comebackers for the pitcher. Most of the time you don't want him touching that ball, just kind of let it go, but it's reactionary.
I was going to say your instincts, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's why a lot of times they stick their bare hand out there. You never want them to do it, but at the same time, like, you just get it. It's coming so fast, it's tough to think.
Third baseman Gatewood is midway between the infield-outfield grass. A shift to the right of second, and the pitch is in the dirt, backhanded by Mulrine with the two runners on. A big backhand there, and it's two balls and no strikes to Corbin Carroll, who struck out looking his first time up. No score, but the Aces making a push with two outs here in the third inning. Leto making his fourth relief appearance with the Bees. And this is his fourth career AAA appearance. 2-0 is taken for a strike on the outside, and it's 2-1. Leto 1-0 with Salt Lake and has not allowed a run in three and a third innings. He's allowed one hit coming in, so make that three hits now with Salt Lake that he's allowed. Two walks to one strikeout. Behind Carroll, 2-1. And a pitch, and Carroll takes in tight, and now three balls and a strike. Corbin Carroll, the number two prospects, or, you know, depending on which publication you're looking at, 1, 2, or 3 in all of baseball. And he has shown why in his short time with the Aces. The pitch is swung on and pulled to the right side. This into the teeth of the shift, though, and Palamaki, the overshifted shortstop, has it. And he throws to first to get Carroll, and Leto gives up a couple of hits upon entering, but gets Carroll to roll over to get out of it. No runs, two hits, no errors, and two left for the Aces. We're on to the middle innings here in downtown Reno. Nothing, nothing on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. score into the middle innings. Top of the fourth here in downtown Reno. Salt Lake and Reno looking for a run. It'll be Steven Duggar, Braxton Martinez, and Mike Ford. Zach Beirutti, Jake McKinley, new head coach of Nevada baseball, and glad to have you with us tonight on Nevada Sportsnet. No runs, three hits for the Bees. No runs, two hits for the Aces. Neither team has committed an error. And Jake, Corbin Martin's been off to a nice start today. He's given up a couple of hits, both to start innings, but in those innings, he's induced double plays. And obviously, double plays can change the complexion of an outing as that is swung on in line to deep right center field. Carroll patrols to his left, and he makes the catch. And on one pitch, there's one out here in the top of the fourth, and more hard contact for Steven Duggar. He's not paid off.
Yeah, seriously. That is a bummer from Duggar. But I think what we're seeing out of Martin so far is he is just good efficiency. Like, he's able to mix his pitches. He's working ahead in the count. And even when he's getting behind in the count, he's able to leverage the secondary stuff to get him back in the count or get weak contact. So I think when you mix those things together, like, you give yourself a chance to pitch deep into a game.
Braxton Martinez grounded into one of those double plays his first time up, and he takes a called strike. You know, Corbin Martin, a guy that was acquired in the Zach Greinke deal along with Seth Beer and J.B. Bukauskas and Josh Rojas. As the 0-1 is low, and it's 1-1. And the Diamondbacks acquired him knowing that he had just underwent Tommy John surgery. So, obviously, the pandemic season, he's recovering. And then in 2021, last year, Corbin comes back to game action as that's fouled back, and it's 1-2. And you can tell, especially early on in the season, once he got toward the fifth inning, there'd be a little bit of fatigue. I remember he made a start, I think it was opening night last year in Salt Lake, and he was awesome through like four and maybe two thirds, and then he kind of hit a wall. And for the first time this season, we've seen him, I think, break down that wall and be able to pitch into the sixth. And at one occasion this season, he's pitching to the eighth. That swung on in line to right, and this is going to be caught by Canzone for out number two. But how did you approach guys that had just underwent Tommy John and trying to get them back into game mode?
So I always feel like the Tommy John surgery, it is the one where you feel good about the recovery or the return to play. And everyone's kind of the same, I would say, for the first, like, 6 to 8 months. Like, everybody's trajectory is the same. But you nailed it, though. Like, after that eight-month window, everybody recovers a little bit different. So I think it's important as a coaching staff or, you know, a development staff, rehab staff, that you're really on the same page with the player of how they're doing. Because players are going to try to push it. Obviously, they're competitors. But I think the big key there is making sure that the players are really, really diligent about, like, their prehab work day-to-day and then also their rehab work, like, or their recovery work after they pitch. I think that's where the guys that recover well from a Tommy John is the guys that do a good job on that, on those things.
Prehab, I've never heard that term used.
Yeah, yeah, so it's the stuff you would do it essentially before you throw. Because a lot of times guys, you know, they'll do a couple stretches, they'll do a, you know, jog, and then they start throwing. And then there's the guys that really, really take every exercise very, very seriously. And I think those are the guys that do recover faster. It's just the guys that take, like, every piece of their rehab, you know, seriously. So having eyes on them for sure is important. But there's that sense of being a good self-starter there as a player. But like I said, I always felt like after 8 months, everybody's kind of in the same boat. And then you would see guys really, like, separate after that point.
Interesting.
So I've seen guys, like, be better post-Tommy John, you know, a year after it. And then some guys, it takes them, you know, as much as, like, 18 months.
Pitch up and away. And after a lengthy sequence, Mike Ford will draw a walk with two outs in the fourth inning. And that's the first walk issued by Corbin Martin and Jose Gomez coming up next.
Yeah, you know what's funny about the Tommy John, though? You know, every time you hear it, you're just kind of like, oh, you know, bummer. Like, you know, he'll get surgery, and it'll be, you know, eight to 12-month recovery. Like, no big deal. It's always the shoulder that's always a little bit more of a concern, like a labral tear. Those are a little more concerning. But, yeah, like, I feel like the Tommy John is just like, I'm not going to say it's no big deal. It's big deal. It's reconstructive elbow surgery.
Yeah.
But they're very common, it seems.
I feel like it used to be a lot bigger deal back in the day than it is now.
Yeah, and I think that the surgery itself has gotten better. Like, we've just gotten better at doing it. Doctors have gotten better at doing it. And I know that there's different things they're doing, too, like some of the taping that they're doing with the joint. So, yeah, just elbows in general, I think we've gotten better as an industry of taking care of the elbow, but also when the elbow breaks down, of recovering the elbow.
That one is up and away, and it counts 2 balls and 1 strike. No score, top of the fourth inning. Runner at first base, Mike Ford. He's being held by Seth Beer. Corbin Martin trying to work around his first walk of the game. Outfield is straight away. And Martin delivers. And a swing and a line drive left field. It's sinking, but not going to be in the glove of Buddy Kennedy. Kennedy missed it. Around second for third is Ford. And into second base goes Jose Gomez. And Buddy Kennedy, who's an infielder by trade, got crossed up there a little bit. That ball was sinking quickly, and I was just watching Buddy's body language. I didn't realize he'd have to reach down as far, and I don't know if he missed it or if the ball bounced in front of the glove. It was tough to tell from both angles.
It's funny, like, so hitting coaches are always on hitters. Like, you want to hit the ball with backspin, right, because backspin carries. The funny thing is, like, have you ever tried to catch a ball that has topspin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
Brutal.
That's brutal. So that ball just had a ton of topspin on it. I think that play was way harder than it actually looked because that had, like, aggressive sink at the end.
They scored an E7, so that'll get two on second and third with two outs. And now a bigger hurdle here for Corbin Martin as he faces Orlando Martinez. That pitch missing down and in, and an appeal of a check swing and no, says the third base umpire Lou Williams, who's working the middle of the diamond with runners at first and second. The 1-0 is swung on and grounded sharply and off the glove of Beer and up the right field line. Two runs will score, and around first, headed for second is Martinez, and the throw there will be cut off. And Orlando Martinez reaches on what I assume would be an E3, and two runs score. And the Bees strike first. It's 2-0. Obviously not the easiest play for Seth Beer, but you figure incumbent on him to make that play.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a play he's going to maybe watch the video on or think about a little bit there. It looked like maybe he got a little bit of an in-between hop. So maybe that's a play he gets a little bit deeper and gets a more favorable hop where he comes and gets it. But that ball was hit pretty well. Tough play, but yeah, you're right. It's probably a play that should be made.
Well, they've scored it a double as the pitch is swung on and missed, and it's nothing in one to Torrey Hunter Jr. So that goes as a two-run double for Orlando Martinez. And it's 2-0 Salt Lake. These are still unearned runs for Corbin Martin because of Kennedy's error as that pitch misses, and it's 1-1. But nonetheless, the Bees have a 2-0 lead, and this has been a frustrating inning defensively for the league's best defensive team in the Aces. The 1-1 is low, and it's 2-1. Aces are the type of team, or have been the type of team this season, where you've just taken the defense for granted. They've been so good, and they have seasoned veteran infielders out there, and everybody in the outfield has been able to cover some ground. So it's amazing what you take for granted after watching sparkling defense all year.
Yeah, it's always a luxury to play great defense, and whenever it suffers a little bit, it just sticks out like a sore thumb, and you always feel like it compounds there too. Like those plays happening back-to-back, it always seems to go that way when you have a really good defensive club.
Two balls and two strikes as that pitch was fouled off by Torrey Hunter Jr., who again grounded to short his only other time up. Center fielder Carroll is slightly towards right. And the 2-2. Is down and in, and now full count to Hunter. And it's also costing Corbin Martin some pitches and some rhythm. He was in a rhythm, and this will be his 60th pitch of the night coming up.
Yeah, you wonder in this pitch with an open base at first if he's going to go to something off speed here. He's got a little bit of wiggle room to do that.
Oh, it swung on and chopped foul third base side. 93 on the fastball there from Corbin. Martin making his fifth start here at Greater Nevada Field tonight. He's 2-2, a 6.20 ERA here at this ballpark this season. Payoff pitch, and it's outside, ball four. Another fastball, but that time he missed wide with it. So Hunter walks, and an inning that started with quickly two up and two down has devolved here into an inning in which the Bees have scored two runs on what they score one hit. With an error mixed in and a walk and now two walks.
Yeah, it's always tough when you have innings that have walks and errors in the exact same inning, especially when they're back-to-back. That's usually kind of a recipe for runs.
So Jake Palamaki in from the left side. And Martin kicks his leg and then spins towards second. Nobody covering second base there. The infield is balanced. Two on either side of second and the outfield straight away. Martin, the right-hander out of Texas A&M, deals a called strike to Palamaki, and it's nothing in one. This is where if you're Corbin Martin, you have to dial in mentally a little bit. You probably felt like you should have been out of the inning a long time ago. 0-1 is fouled back toward the on-deck area now, nothing in two.
Yeah, he probably feels like he's thrown, I don't know, 12, 13 extra pitches right now. Those can get mentally fatiguing for sure.
Bees have taken a 2-0 lead here in the fourth. 0-2, and a swing and a little looper, shallow right, and that'll be a base hit. They were off on contact with two outs, so Martinez is around third. Canzone's throw is going to sail to the backstop, and now the runners will advance another station as Hunter scores, and up to third base goes Palamaki. So that'll be an RBI single for Jake Palamaki, on which Martinez scores. And Hunter was going to third on that hit. And then the E9 will account for Hunter scoring and Palamaki getting to third. It was Palamaki advancing to second on the throw. And then the E9 also accounts for Palamaki going second to third. So all of a sudden, what a mess this inning for the Aces. And now it's 4-0 Salt Lake as Martin will face Anthony Mohrein, the ninth place hitter, who takes low. So it's Palamaki at third base. Mohrein singled with two outs in the third inning. Here's the pitch, and a swing and a foul back, and it's even at 1-1. Caleb Berriger is now throwing in the Aces bullpen. It's a 1-1, and Mohrein takes that pitch in tight, and it's 2-1. Again, these are all unearned runs for Corbin Martin because of Kennedy's error. But nonetheless, four runs for Salt Lake. This has turned into a big inning for the Bees, who lead it 4-0. And the pitch swung on and missed. Big rip at a 92-mile-an-hour fastball, and it's 2-2. There's Berriger throwing in the pen. Former San Francisco Giants products. 2-2. And a swing and a foul off to the right. So Martin now at 69 pitches, so he's going to get to 70 pitches here by the end of this inning.
What did he start the inning with?
Can't recall. Feels like a lot less.
Yeah, this has been a long one. It's been a long one.
2-2. And a swing and a little nubber up the first baseline. That's going to spin fair, and it's going to be off the glove of Beer. And a fair ball, and that is going to be for sure an E3. Well, that ball was spinning like a top. I mean, it was spinning right along the first base line. You could tell it was going to go foul, and then it spun back fair. It gives you an indication of how much it was spinning, and Beer went to pick it up, and it spun right off of his gloves. So this tough inning wears on here for the Aces defensively.
That's one of those tricky plays where, like, you can't even really practice that. You know, it's just it's hit so weird, and Beer feels the runner coming at him, too. You know, so he's got that weird decision. Does he pick it and try to put a tag on? Does he grab it and try to go to the bag? And it's got funky spin on it. Again, like it looks like a play that should be a very easy play to make. But those plays are they're tricky because you can't practice them. Much, much more difficult than they look.
Pitch was in for a strike, and the umpires are asking for something right now. I don't know what they were talking about. They kind of pointed up. The lights are on, so I don't know what they were looking at there. But nonetheless, nothing in one. To Jake Gatewood, who all of a sudden is the ninth man to bat in the inning, and Gatewood swings and chops it to short. It's going to be taken by Duzenak, and he'll flip it to second for the fielder's choice force play that ends the inning. It goes 6-4, and at long last, this inning is over. But a five-run inning for Salt Lake, and a tough inning defensively for the Aces. Five runs for the Bees on two hits. There were two errors, and two men were left stranded. As we go to the bottom of the fourth. It's now the Bees 5, the Aces nothing on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. The Aces now staring down the barrel of a 5-0 deficit as we go to the bottom of the fourth inning. Wilmer Defoe, Seth Beer, and Buddy Kennedy, 3-4-5 to face Luis Lado, who came on with the bases empty and two outs, gave up back-to-back singles, but then got Corbin Carroll to ground out to end the inning. And Lado, into his motion, deals to Defoe, who takes off the outside, ball one.
Tough inning there for Reno, but it's one of those things. A 5-0 lead this early, this elevation certainly is not impossible to come back from. Just got to take it one inning at a time.
Defoe grounds it to Palamaki. The overshifted shortstop on the right side of the infield throws to first. It is a 6-3 putout with the shift, and there's one away. And Seth Beer coming up next. Make sure you tell your guys that Mount West play, all right?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
This elevation, 5-0.
Ah, man, never need to panic there. You just can't try to hit a 5-run homer, you know?
Got to grind out some at-bats. The Aces still have plenty of time to do that in this game as the pitch is swung on and fouled off to the first base on deck area by Seth Beer, who flied to center his first time up.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that grind of, like, going up and down in the big leagues, and it's a little bit of the same here where it's, like, that grind of just having a really rocky defensive inning and then having, like, the maturity to put together quality at-bats now.
I was going to say, how do you not take those with you to the plate? You know what happened? You got to really be mentally tough.
I mean, that's truly being a pro.
Pitch down and in, and it's two balls and a strike to Beer.
And it's one of the hardest things I think guys have to learn. Honestly, at the college level, the pro level, where defenses are just so good.
It's going to be fouled off of Seth's foot to add insult to injury to Seth this inning.
Yeah, because I know there's two plays there that he probably will say he should have made. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that happens. It's kind of one of those where when it rains, it pours.
Oh, yeah, right on the instep of his right foot. So two balls and two strikes to Beer. Buddy Kennedy is on deck. The shift is on three to the right of second. It's Gatewood, the third baseman, playing the shortstop spot here. And the pitch is off the outside. And it's a full count, 3-2. Lado again making his fourth appearance with Salt Lake. Had 29 games with the AA club, Rocket City, as that pitch is in the dirt, and that's ball four. And that's something for Seth Beer to feel good about here in the fourth inning.
Really good at-bat there. Laid off some tough pitches. Obviously had the pitch that he fouled off his foot. Not an easy at-bat, especially in this situation. I think a lot of times guys will try to do too much. When you fall behind like that, you have a frustrating inning. Kudos to Seth Beer there. Really good at-bat.
Lado, by the way, we didn't really get into his numbers from AA, but 29 appearances with the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Went 5-3, had an ERA of 4 in 36 innings, 41 strikeouts, 17 walks in 36 innings. As that pitch is going to miss in the dirt, ball one.
So I remember when they got the Rocket City affiliate. I think it's a fairly new affiliate, a couple years old maybe.
Yeah, I think they renamed the franchise what it was.
I had the double take.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Trash Pandas.
That's exactly why they named themselves that. They wanted you to have the double take.
Yeah, they got me good too.
Madison, Alabama in the Southern League.
So I never roved to a Trash Pandas game. Maybe a big miss by me. Probably should have gone.
To a Trash Pandas game?
Should have gone to a Trash Pandas game. But Southern League, I usually went out to Biloxi, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice yard, too. And I heard a pretty cool stop on the circuit as that swung on and missed. And it's 1-1. I've been to Biloxi one time. I just kind of passed through. I spent an afternoon there. But players talk about how they really enjoy playing there.
Yeah, it is one of the most unique cities. Have you ever watched the show Ozark?
I'm actually just getting into it. It's funny you say that.
Okay, it reminds me of the show Ozark's version of Ozark. It's it's like a water town. There's casinos, some random minor league baseball team, but like, yeah, they draw well, really good skyline behind right field. Really cool place. Really humid though. Really humid.
By the way, Rocket City used to be the Mobile Bay Bears.
Mm.
The 2-1 is swung on and grounded to short and is going to be taken by Palamaki to second for one and Gomez to first for two and a double play. 6-4-3 on a bit of hard contact by Buddy Kennedy, but right at Gatewood, or Palamaki, I beg your pardon, gloves it nicely and starts the twin killing that gets the bees out of the bottom of the fourth. No runs, no hits, no errors, and after that, none left. And on to the fifth. It's 5-0 Salt Lake on Nevada Sportsnet. Aces Baseball on Nevada Sportsnet. Zach Beirutti, Jake McKinley about to be in his first season as the head coach of the Nevada Wolfpack. And it's 5-0 Salt Lake here in the top of the fifth. Steven Duggar, Braxton Martinez, and Mike Ford are due for the Bees. All right, I know it's not Nevada season for baseball for another few months, but I'll put you in the coach's chair here. What do you tell Corbin Martin after an inning like that in the fourth inning? Five runs, none of them earned. And obviously we saw what happened there with some defensive botching, but what are you telling your guy coming out the ensuing inning as the pitch on the way is taken for a strike and it's 0-1?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in this situation as a head coach, right, where your pitcher goes out there and he's cruising, gets two quick outs, and then everything just kind of blows up, just a series of unfortunate events. And I think the message there is that how you perform the next inning or just how you go about your business the next inning says a lot about you as a competitor. Like, these really do. This inning is big for him, in my opinion. And I don't even think it comes down to the results per se, but it comes down to the intensity. It comes down to the intent to make pitches, to stay within his approach. Because, again, like, at the major league level, I think so many things can happen that can send guys sort of off that, like, proverbial deep end. So it's his ability to stay within his process, his approach. Not easy to do, but this inning says a lot about him as a competitor, in my opinion.
That one dips in for a strike, and the count even at 2 balls and 2 strikes. 86 on that pitch from Corbin Martin. Caught the inside edge. Duggar fly to center his last time up, and he swings and misses here on an off-speed pitch, 87 away. And Duggar had a couple of instances of hard contact prior to that strikeout, but Duggar 0 for 3 tonight, and Braxton Martinez coming up next.
I think that's a good sign there for Martin to come out there and execute some pitches, make the strikeout pitch. It looked like a changeup from here.
Yeah.
To throw a changeup in that situation and come out and get that first strikeout, I think is huge just from a momentum perspective. The game is so critical on having as much momentum in your dugout as possible, and I think that shifts a little bit back into the Aces dugout there.
I think in one to Martinez, and a pitch swung on and fouled back, and now nothing in two. It looked like a changeup to me, too, and I'll tell you this. The hardest thing for me to identify now are changeups, because now you get like 88 to 90 mile an hour changeups, and that's something that's commonplace now that never used to be that way. Like you knew a changeup when you saw it back in the day. Is that slow? And it's 1-2. But now, I mean, you have guys throwing pitches that are changeups that might be other guys' fastballs.
Oh, you nailed it. And it's the industry's perspective of a changeup has changed in recent years too. It used to be kind of, you know, viewed as the proverbial slow ball, if you will.
1-2 is swung on and chopped to the left side. It's going to be taken backhand on the second bounce by Duzenak, and a throw to first in time to get Martinez. And two up and two down for Corbin.
But changeups now, they're turning into these, like, wipeout pitches with, like, tons of movement. So, like, you know who's really interesting is Zach Greinke will throw the fastball at, like, 89 miles an hour and then the changeup at, like, 88 miles an hour. Like, he's, like, 1 mile an hour different, but it has just so much, like, sink and dive to it. So we've just seen changeups. They're throwing them harder, but they're getting more bite than maybe they used to. But, yeah, I mean, shoot, when I pitched, it was about how well could you change speeds off of your fastball, where that still is a thing for guys, but I think now it's more so about how much movement and separation can you get off your fastball.
That's really interesting, and I've not delved into Zach Greinke's repertoire, but that just in and of itself is fascinating, is that pitch to Ford is in for a called strike, and it's even at 1-1.
Yeah, I think Greinke's one of the guys that really did kind of change the perspective of that pitch throughout the industry. Is like, hey, let's actually make these things nasty. Where, you know, I think it used to be like, hey, let's make our bodies look like fastballs, but make the ball slow. Where now it's like, no, like this has a chance to be a wipeout nasty pitch. That's where you get like the Devin Williams of the world, guys that are making these pitches almost look like they defy gravity.
Ford swings and lines that one deep to right, and that'll one-hop the fence. And Ford makes the turnaround first. He's headed for second. The throw in from Canzone, and the tag by Duzenak is in time. Canzone to Duzenak, and what a finish by Duzenak at second base to get that tag on Mike Ford to end the inning. Canzone had enough mustard on it, and Duzenak had to lunge and be nifty with the glove there to apply the tag, and it's going to be a single to the wall for Mike Ford, and then 9-6 on the out at second. That ends the inning. No runs, one hit, no errors, and none left. And we go to the bottom of the fifth. It's the Bees 5, the Aces nothing on NSN and the Aces Digital Network. Aces coming up in the bottom of the fifth as we go from daylight to darkness here in downtown Reno. Zach Beirutti, Jake McKinley, glad to have you with us on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. And a new pitcher for the Bees, it's Zach Weiss. And Weiss, the right-hander out of UCLA, sixth-round selection of the Reds in 2013. And he is making his 39th appearance this season for Salt Lake. 2-3 with a 4.63 ERA and just under 45 innings worked. And he'll face Dominic Canzone. And the pitch from Weiss to Canzone is low and inside for ball one. Again, 5-0 Salt Lake. And Canzone, Jake, was part of that play to end the top half of this inning. And Canzone got that ball out of right field quickly. Mike Ford hit it to the wall. Canzone got it out quickly. And Duznak, a fantastic diving tag on the back end as Canzone swings and laces this one toward the gap in right center. It's picked up by Martinez. Canzone is hustling for second. He's in standing with a leadoff double.
Yeah, it's funny. You have two good defensive plays on that same play, right? Like, he gets it out of his glove quickly. The throw itself was a little bit off the bag. We've got the pick. We've got the tag. And it always happens where the guy that makes the great play, he leads off and he gets a hit. And it's a hustle double. Those are the kind of things that can get you back out of a 5-0 hole.
No doubt. And you were just saying during the break that that is an underrated aspect of outfield play. Is Maroglio is going to take a strike and it's nothing in one, being able to get the ball out quickly.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of times when outfielders are evaluated, it's always looking at arm strength, which is good, it's important, but getting rid of it quickly is actually, I think, it's just as important, because you know, nobody can outrun a thrown baseball, right? But people can outrun a guy that's taking forever to get rid of the ball. So him getting that ball out of his glove so quickly, it gave us a chance to make that play.
One ball and one strike to Maroglio. Center fielder Duggar is pretty much straight away, maybe a step toward right center, as Maroglio swings and loops one toward the right field line. There's going to be a long run for Martinez, and it falls fair, just barely, and holding at third is Canzone, and Maroglio will be in his second base, and he has a bloop double. Canzone held up with nobody out. And obviously Canzone had a hold up at second base to make sure that was not going to be caught. With nobody out, Mark Reed did not want to roll the dice with the Canzone not being able to get a head start there. So the Aces will take second and third with nobody out, and Dominic Maroglio will take kind of a dying quail double there at the right field line.
Canzone did a really good job on that play. He was just kind of creeping with the ball as it was starting to fall. So he was getting off as far as the ball would let him get off. And Reed did a good job holding. There's no need to push the envelope in this situation.
So Jose Herrera takes a called strike. The rare instance of back-to-back doubles where a run does not score. And you have those instances. And I have an epic one that I saw in my career, as Weiss will reset, and he wants a fresh set of signs here from his battery-mate, Mo Ryan. The shift is on, by the way, 3 to the right of second. Gatewood still playing toward third base. The pitch is swung on and fouled first base dugout, and it's nothing in two. But in 2009, I called the longest game in California League history. The Stockton Ports and the High Desert Mavericks, 7 hours, 34 minutes, 21 innings. And Stockton in that game went 1-for-23 with runners in scoring position. Oh, the one hit with a runner in scoring position was a double with a runner at second that didn't score because of something
gosh.
Like that.
Oh,
and that was a game for the ages, as that is swung on and pulled foul off the facing of the first base dugout. And the other guy to call that game for the High Desert Mavericks was Alex Friedman, who's now the voice of the Oklahoma City Dodgers. They call some type of interference there. Canzone scored. Maroglio is now at third. Did you catch that?
I don't. Was that a balk?
Here's the 0-2, and it's swung on and looped towards short, and the gate with the third baseman in the shift will make the catch for out number one. I'm guessing it was a balk that we missed. Had to have been a balk, right?
Had to have been. Yeah, had to. Probably didn't come set.
Yeah. So call it a balk, and we apologize for missing that. It felt like the pitch happened and everything happened so fast. Usually a balk, there's a little more to do.
Yeah, more of a reaction from the umpire there too. But you know, the balk is like the defensive offsides in football. You know, that's actually one of those fun facts. Like, anytime the pitcher balks and he throws a pitch, you should swing, even if it's in the dirt, because you get to choose whatever outcome you want as the offense.
That's fouled back, and it's nothing in one to Duzenac.
Yeah, so even though the ball's fouled there, you can just choose to take the run. So you just choose to take the run, and then the pitch never happened.
Pitch is going to be swung on and missed by Duzenac, and it's nothing in two. So always swing, right? And then you get a three-run homer, and then the buck is null and void. You take the three-run homer.
Correct, yes. And I have actually seen it before where a hitter was able to hit a ball that, like, bounced before it got to the plate, hit it off the bounce, and got a base hit. Yeah, you can take the base hit.
Swinging a ground ball to short. This is going to get another run, and it is taken by Palomaki, who throws to first to get Duzenac. And that is out number two. So on the ground out, Maroglio scores. The A's have a couple of runs back here in the bottom of the fifth inning, and they'll feel good about that. It's now 5-2 Salt Lake on the RBI ground out by Duzenac. And out of the top of the order, and Giancarlo Cintron.
So it's funny, this pitcher Weiss, I actually coached against this guy in college when he was at UCLA in small world. I hung out with John Savage today, the UCLA head coach. He's from Reno. And he's in town, so his son is our director of player development at UNR.
Okay.
So he's here seeing his son. So the whole Savage family are like Reno royalty. But, yeah, John Savage, great coach.
That's a swung on and fouled back off the mask of Mo Ryan, and it's nothing in two. That is a small world kind of moment for you.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I remember this guy in college, really, really good, really good pitcher. And I told John a funny story how I was the volunteer assistant at the time. And on Sunday, we were in the process of getting swept at UCLA.
0-2 is in the dirt, and it's 1-2.
And so I was the volunteer assistant, but I was, like, doubling as the director of baseball operations. And we had ordered food for, like, the getaway for the team.
Yep.
And the credit card had gotten declined, and so I had found this out in about the fifth inning. We were down, like, 12-0. And so I was like, shoot, I got to tell the head coach, like, I need his credit card, and we're down 12-0. He's in a bad mood. We're about to get swept.
That's fouled off to the right by Cintron.
So I just said, like, hey, man, like, I know this is terrible timing, but I need your credit card. And so we, he didn't say a word. He just grabbed it out of his wallet and gave it to me. Didn't even look me in the eye. Oh, man, it's terrible.
That's a tough moment for
you. Yeah, so I told John Savage that story today. He loved it.
There's the 1-2, and it's in the dirt, and it's 2 balls and 2 strikes. Yeah, there are good times to ask for money, and there are bad times. And man, when you're down 12-0.
No, we just needed that credit card to, like, not get declined the first time.
2 balls and 2 strikes to Cintron. And a pitch. And a swing and a miss off speed, and Cintron down on strikes. And that ends the inning. But 2 runs back for the Aces there in the bottom of the fifth. And 2 runs on 2 hits. They were both doubles. A balk brought in a run as well. No errors. And none left. And now we go to the sixth, where it's the Bees 5 and the Aces 2 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Corbin Martin's still going. at 85 pitches as he begins the top of the sixth inning. And it's the B's 5 and the Aces 2. 5 runs, 6 hits for Salt Lake. 2 runs, 4 hits, 3 errors for Reno. And Jose Gomez is in from the right side. Gomez is 0 for 2. Grounded into a double play in the second. Reached on Buddy Kennedy's error in the fourth. As that pitch is low, ball 1. It'll be Gomez, Orlando Martinez, and Torrey Hunter Jr. Zach Beirute, Jake McKinley. Glad to have you with us on Nevada Sportsnet tonight for Game 3 of this series between the Aces and the Bees. That pitch in for a strike, and it's 1-1. It was a nice bounce-back inning for Corbin Martin after that rugged fourth.
Yeah, I think it's good to see him out here again for this inning, too. You kind of look at that inning almost as a mulligan. It all happened with two outs, a couple of series of unfortunate events. But if you look at the body of work of this outing, this is a really, really good outing. So I think he's earned the right to come out for the sixth inning.
And again, all five of those runs that scored for Salt Lake in the fourth, unearned for Corbin Martin. Here's the 1-2, and it is in tight. And it's 2-2. There were two errors in that inning. You can make the argument there could have been three. One was a scoring decision that became a double rather than an error. But that first error making all the runs unearned. But you kind of catch the drift of what happened there in the fourth as the 2-2 is swung on and pop up. It's going to beat a straightaway center field. Corbin Carroll can't find it in the twilight, and Carroll guessed right where he was supposed to go. And that was just all instincts there by Corbin Carroll. Get where he thinks the ball might go off the read that he had on the bat. And Carroll getting there and making the catch for the first out of the inning.
Yeah, that's one of the most empty feelings as a baseball player is when there's a ball in the air and you know it's in your direction and you can't find it. But I think that's why you practice that. That's why you have the outfielders in the corners. That's why you have the infielders trying to help you out.
It's like that'll be it for Corbin Martin. So Martin at 90 pitches will be lifted here by Gil Velasquez, and it's Caleb Berriger who will come in from the Aces bullpen. So Martin does not allow an earned run tonight, but again, 5 unearned runs in the fourth inning. And a nice landing here for Corbin Martin, and Jake and I will talk about it when we come back after this call to the bullpen break. Again, Berriger will be the new Aces pitcher, and we'll talk more about him. We come back, and we're still in the top of the sixth, our score. The Bees 5 and the Aces 2 are back after this on Nevada Sportsnet. Caleb Berriger, the new Aces pitcher, takes over for Corbin Martin here in the sixth, and Berriger will deal outside ball 1 to Orlando Martinez. Lefty to lefty here, Martin threw 90 pitches in 5 1/3 innings, and the pitch is taken for a strike, and it's even at 1-1. Martin gave up 5 runs, none of them were earned on 6 hits. pitch is low and outside, and it's 2-1. And we'll talk more about Berger in a moment, but Jake Corbin Martin was mentally tough after that tough fourth inning, you know, where the defense kind of crumbled behind him as that's off the outside, and it's 3-1. And you identified that going into the fifth inning as something he needed to be, and he was.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times after pitchers have outings.
So that is up high, and it's ball four, so Martinez walks.
You have to look at the entire body of work. And so when you look through it, I mean, he faced the minimum, you know, two of those innings. I think he had a couple innings where he faced four batters. You know, he got double play balls when he needed them. Even some of the damage that was done, it was like through infield singles. So collectively speaking, like, this is a quality start. He gave his team a chance to win. Again, it's just a series of events that happened. That are, you know, there's some bad luck in there, some bad defense in there, or, you know, some defensive miscues, I should say. But overall, it's a good outing.
5 1/3 innings, he allowed 5 runs, none of them earned on 6 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts for Corbin Martin, who threw 90 pitches. So now Berger takes the reins, making his 33rd appearance, his 32nd in relief for the Aces. And nothing in one to Torii Hunter Jr. Runner goes, and Berger throws over to first. Beer throws down to second, and the tag applied by Wilmer Defoe. So pickoff caught stealing, 1-3-4. And that takes care of the walk.
Really good job by Beer here. You can see that he creates a good lane. He comes and he gets that throw from Berger, creates a good throwing lane for himself, made that a really easy play. That is actually a tougher play than I think most people realize, but, man, Beer did a great job to come get that throw and create a good throwing lane for himself.
So now two away, and the 0-1 to Hunter is low and inside, and it's 1-1. And a nice job there by Berger to be able to still be in position to throw to first base and not balk. And Hunter swings and fouls it back, and now Berger with the upper hand, 1-2. Berger out of Indiana. He was drafted by the Giants in the 9th round in 2016. Made his big league debut the pandemic season of 2020. Pitch. And a swing and a miss. And Hunter was tardy on a 93-mile-an-hour elevated fastball. And for Berger, he picks up his first strikeout. That's the third for Aces pitching tonight. No runs, no hits, no errors. And none left for the bottom. We go to the bottom of the sixth. It's Salt Lake 5 and Reno 2 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. The Aces scored 2 runs in the bottom of the fifth, and after a shutdown inning, they're back up in the bottom of the sixth, and they'll have Corbin Carroll to lead it off. Wilmer Defoe and Seth Beer to follow, and a new pitcher for the Bees. It is Grant Dayton. So Dayton, the left-hander, takes over for Zach Weiss, who went the one inning, and Weiss gave up 2 runs. They were both earned on 2 hits, both doubles. He balked in a run, and then a run came in on a groundout by Duzenac. No walks and 1 strikeout for Zach Weiss. And now Dayton deals a called strike. Dayton out of Auburn University and a native of Madison, Alabama, out of Bob Jones High School. Here's the 0-1, and it's off the outside, and it's one ball and one strike. Dayton, who made his major league debut with the Dodgers in 2016, deals, and it is a strike on the outside, and it's 1-2. So now playing for the other LA team, although he has never suited up for the Angels, and began this season with the Marlins, made 12 appearances with their AAA club in Jacksonville, and now making his 27th appearance with Salt Lake. That swung on by Carroll and popped up third base foul territory. Gatewood over by the sidewall, and he'll watch that go atop the dugout. Twenty-six innings for Dayton. He has given up 17 earned runs on 28 hits, 23 strikeouts to 13 walks. He's got his hands full here with Corbin Carroll. And I know you haven't seen Corbin reach base yet, but you know about his plus-plus-plus speed. And obviously key to keep a guy off the base pass to start an inning with his speed as that pitch is up high.
Yeah, I mean, he grounded out to second earlier, I think. Yeah, he grounded out to second earlier. And it was like bang-bang. You know what I mean? So it's very evident. You can just see... just in the batter's box, like this guy has some serious presence.
It's fouled back and it stays 2-2.
Good swing too, really, really balanced.
And what they say about Corbin Carroll is he's really able to digest the scouting report and then go out and control the at bat. Does that in an advanced level, especially for his age. 2-2 is swung on and lifted foul down the left field line. That is twisting toward the seats and will get out of play. Torrey Hunter gave it a look.
Yeah, I think that's an important skill because organizations are doing such a good job of leveraging their AAA system and their big league team for giving like so many different looks on the pitching staff. So to be able to like look at a scouting report and put it into application in the game is a huge skill.
2-2 is that's fouled off to the left.
The other thing, too, he's going left on left here. Usually a really big challenge for left-handed hitters, and you know, he seems very comfortable.
That one swung on and lifted to a deep right. This is bending toward the corner. Martinez goes after it, but he could just stop and watch it go over the fence. It's a home run for Corbin Carroll, number 5. What an at-bat there by Corbin Carroll, fouling off pitch after pitch. And you mentioned, Jake, lefty versus lefty. That's not an easy at-bat. And then Corbin gets a hold of one, yanks it to right, and it finds the Salt Lake bullpen. And Reno now within 2 runs. It's 5-3.
I think one of the really impressive things, like you said, is fouling off pitch after pitch there. And then he gets the breaking ball, left-on-left breaking ball, and he stays in there on that. You know, I think a lot of times guys are just over-eager with two strikes just to put the ball in play, and he put a really good swing on that pitch. It wasn't necessarily a hung pitch either. That's a pro at-bat right there.
First pitch misses to Wilmer Defoe, who's twice grounded to the left side. The outfield straightaway, 2 on either side, a second. Dayton delivers, and Defoe swings and skies this one toward the right field line. Now toward the corner, Martinez on the warning track over there, and Martinez makes the catch at a tricky angle. Martinez almost over-pursued it, but Defoe fouls out to right. And there's one away. And that was a play where Martinez had to reach back over his head to get it.
I've noticed it gets a little extra windy at night here, especially at our park up on that hill.
Oh, yeah.
I've just noticed you hit the ball in the air, and it gets a little swirly at night.
Those March games at Piccoli Park, I've been – to a bunch of them. I've called a bunch of them as that's in for a strike, and it's nothing and one filling in for John Ramey. And it's a little chilly over there.
We're ready for it.
Talking about like bring a parka. 0-1 is a strike at the knees, and it's nothing and two to Seth Beer. By the way, that home run off of Carroll's bat, 371 feet, exit velo of 91 miles an hour. On that 75-mile-an-hour curveball that he hit out as that pitch is low and outside, and it's 1-2.
Yeah, our assistant coach was doing all of the Adidas ordering, you know, for all of our gear and our clothing. We got to make sure we have some good warm weather gear early in the year. We've got Hofstra early in the year at Piccoli. That's going to be a cold one.
That one is swung on and missed, and down on strikes goes Beer, who's 0-for-2 in his return to the Aces lineup, and with two away, Buddy Kennedy is coming up. Obviously, that is the first strikeout for Grant Dayton, and with two away, here's Kennedy, who's 0-for-2. Yeah, make sure you get, like, the stocking caps and all that, the gloves.
Need it all. Need, especially, like, Hofstra, those guys coming from New York.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to think it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Pitch on the way is taken inside, ball one to Buddy Kennedy. Yeah, it's child's play if you're coming from the East Coast.
100%. Our pitching coach is, he's actually from Minnesota. He came from the Twins. And he's like, well, what's cold here? You know, we were telling him, he just rolled his eyes at us. You guys are ridiculous. That's not cold.
One ball and one strike to Kennedy as that drops in for a strike. It's the mountain air that really, like, gets to your bones here, though. Like,
it does.
It is cold, but it sneaks up on you because it's an air coming off the Sierras. The 1-1 is in for a strike, and it's 1-2.
Yeah, I always hear, you know, Piccoli just, you know, the ball really flies there. And I asked a couple of our players there at the field the other day, and I said, you know, is it like that when it's cold? You know, does it still fly when it's cold? They're like, oh yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, that doesn't change anything.
Yeah, no.
It still flies.
No, it's fouled off to the right, and it stays a ball and two strikes on Kennedy. Yeah, I can attest. I called some high-scoring games there.
Yeah, so in the recruiting process, it was just important to us to, like, get pitchers that have strikeout stuff. Because if you get swing and miss, you know, even the cheaply hit fly ball can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
So, hard throwers, guys with wipeout stuff.
One is inside, and it's two balls and two strikes. I was just going to say, like, do you recruit to the environment? Like, if you're a college coach, I mean, it has to be a thing, right? Like, you recruit to something like that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the whole conference is actually, you know, kind of on the hitter-friendly side. So, you know, traditionally you'd say, we'll go get a bunch of sinker ballers, but the way that hitters are swinging the bat today, I actually don't know if having a team full of sinker ballers is a really good idea. I think it's guys that, like, have really good velocity. It's guys that can really spin the ball. High strikeout guys, I think, is what you need in this conference. I think sinker ball guys can be actually dangerous because guys are good at getting on plane and sort of swinging uphill.
Kennedy swings and misses, and it's back-to-back strikeouts for Grant Dayton to end the inning. But the Aces get a run closer on Corbin Carroll's leadoff homer. One run, one hit, no errors, and none left. Six in the books. We're on to the seventh. It's now the Bees 5, the Aces 3 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Nighttime in Northern Nevada, we head to the top of the seventh inning in a game the Bees lead the Aces 5-3. Zach Beirutti, Jake McKinley, the new head coach of the Nevada baseball team. Great to have you with us on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network tonight. As that's swung on and driven well by Palamaki, but well foul up the left side, and it's allowed strike one at Palamaki. Grimacing there, he knew he just was a hair early on that. 0-1 is swung on, and that's wrapped toward the left field corner. That'll get down and be extra bases. It'll be dug out there by Kennedy, and Palamaki is into second base, and he has a leadoff double. Two hard hit balls. One went foul, and that one stayed fair and rattled around in the left field corner. So a leadoff double for the Bees, looking to push back after the Aces have scored three unanswered runs here.
Yeah, tip your cap there to Palamaki. Good adjustment. Kind of the same pitch there.
So we'll see if Caleb Berger can work around the leadoff double. Berger came on with one out. The base is empty in the sixth. He walked Orlando Martinez, but then subsequently picked him off and then struck out Torrey Hunter Jr. to end the inning, as that's fouled back by Mulrine for strike one. Mulrine in the nine hole is one for two. His first hit with the Bees this season, a single in the third. And he reached on an error his last time up. That was committed by Seth Beer. That was that ball that was spinning up the first base line that spun right out of Seth's glove. 0-1 is taken for a strike, and now nothing in two. So Berger well ahead here. Two on either side of second. Defoe is holding the runner at second, Palamaki. And the 0-2 is off the inside. So one ball and two strikes. A well-placed two-strike pitch, though, by Berger.
Yeah, it is. And I think just given the explosive characteristics of the fastball, good opportunity for him to go upstairs here.
The 1-2. And it's chopped foul third base side.
Well, missed on that one. Could have sworn he was going to go heater up.
Still in play, though, with the count 1-2.
Yeah. It just seems like that's kind of a bread-and-butter opportunity for him, especially with the open base here.
Top of the order, Gatewood on deck. Berger trying to keep momentum on the Aces' side. And Reno's scored three unanswered runs. The pitch is fouled back. That was a heater. Was it up enough for you?
I don't know. I got caught a lot of the plate there. Still think that pitch is in play.
Still the same count?
Yeah.
Let's see if Berger hears you out there. Now a turn and a look towards second base, and Palamaki scampers back to the bag.
So in the PCL, did they get two pickoffs per batter?
Two disengagements per batter.
Okay.
Yeah, which obviously really gives an advantage to the runner, especially the runner at first. There's the spin and the look toward second again, and Palamaki kind of goes back to the bag. Interesting couple of disengagements with the runner at second base.
Right, so one more would be a balk. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The 1-2, and a swing and a foul back to the screen. Another fastball.
Yeah, I think he's trying to get it up. He looked a little bit frustrated there.
Again, Berger got the final two outs of the sixth, taking over for Corbin Martin, who gave up five unearned runs in five and a third innings. The 1-2. There it is.
That's what he wanted.
Fastball up, but couldn't get Mulrine to chase. Two balls and two strikes. They're leaving some room to the left of second on the infield. Defoe holding the runner, and Duzenac, the shortstop, playing Mulrine to pull it. 2-2, and a swing and a broken bat flare, shallow left, Duzenac angled out, he jumps, and he rolls over with the ball, he dropped it on the transfer, and now he'll throw to second, and the tag at second is in time! What a play by Duzenac, and Defoe with a nice tag on the back end, and Jake Palamaki can't believe it. Camden Duzenac jumped a little bit early, he rolled over, and on the transfer dropped it, and then fired to second, and Palamaki trying to get back, thought that he got back. And Defoe applies the tag, and it's a double play. And now Lou Marson will argue that Palamaki got back to the bag, or at least alluded to the tag. But what a play by Duzenac.
You know, the thing about Duzenac's play that is so impressive there is he drops the ball in the transfer, and he goes to pick it up, and he misses the first pickup and then picks it up with his glove and then makes the play. I think a lot of guys panic in that situation. But you can see here, He's able to complete this play after kind of a miscue there and get that second out. You talk a lot in baseball about slowing the game down. Great example right there of a guy being able to slow the game down when it's moving really, really fast after making a great play.
Pitch up and away, ball one to Jake Gatewood. And on the replay, if you're watching, it was, I think, clear to see that Palamaki was tagged before he got back to the bag, as that pitch is going to miss in tight, and it's two balls and no strikes. See if we get this angle here. Thought he got him on the helmet, or no, the sleeve.
That's a great tag.
Is off the outside, and it's 3-0. Wilmer Defoe's a wizard with the glove.
That's one of those things you just can't really teach. That's just being a good athlete right there, too. He's falling away.
3-0 is taken for a strike, and it's 3-1. You think you got him, though? Think you tagged him?
It looked like it from here. It's tough to tell with that angle we just saw, but, you know, from here, it sure looked like it.
3-1 is fouled back. Big rip that time taken by Gatewood, and now Berger in a full count.
Looks like maybe he got on the forearm or the hand, but you know, I'll tell you, like, nobody probably had a better look than the umpire.
Yeah,
it's really, really tough to argue that.
So full count, and the pitch to Gatewood is up and in as Gatewood straightens up, and it's ball four. So it's a second walk issued by Berger. He walked Martinez, the first batter that he faced upon entering last inning, and he walks Gatewood with two outs here in the seventh inning. And here's Steven Duggar, who's 0-for-3. Duggar's had some hard contact tonight. He's grounded out on one of those. He's flied out on another. And last time up, he had no contact. He struck out swinging.
So I think if you're the Aces here, this is probably the better matchup for you anyways, because I think Gatewood is a guy that can hurt you with one swing of the bat. And of course, Duggar can too, but we're left on left here, and it's a guy that's not going great.
A pitch is swung on and blooped toward the left field stands, and that's where it winds up for strike one.
So you never like two-out walks, but I think in this situation, you're down by a couple runs. It's probably one of those situations where a two-out walk's not really that big of a deal.
Salt Lake scored all five runs in the top of the fourth inning. The Aces two in the fifth and one in the sixth. Outfield straight away, and Berger swings his front leg and deals, and it's swung on by Duggar and line foul off to the left, and it's nothing in two.
Now that you got him in that two-strike count, there's so many opportunities to expand the strikes. And I think the key here is just making sure you don't give him anything good to hit. Good opportunities for Chase.
That pitch is, well, right there. Strike three called, and obviously that's not the pitch that Duggar was expecting, and Duggar didn't care for that call from the home plate umpire, Sam Birch. No ABS tonight. And that pitch may be a hair low in the eyes of Duggar. But he is down looking, and the inning is over, and Berger has two strikeouts. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one left. And what a great play by Duzenac. And on the back end, Defoe is the centerpiece of that seventh inning defensively for the Aces. We go to the bottom of the seventh. It's time to stretch here at Greater Nevada Field. It's the Bees 5, the Aces 3 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. The ace is still with some momentum here as we are just past stretch time, bottom of the seventh inning, and the first pitch to Dominic Canzone is in for a strike, and it's nothing in one. Canzone, Dominic Maroglio, and Jose Herrera are due up as a big breaking ball got in there from Grant Dayton, who's in his second inning of relief. Dayton gave up a leadoff home run to Corbin Carroll in the sixth, and now Canzone swings and drives one well to left center field. It gets over the head of Duggar and stays at the base of the wall. Duggar has to dig it out, and Canzone into second base, and for a second time in as many at-bats, Dominic Canzone has a leadoff double. He did it in the fifth, and now he does it here to start the bottom of the seventh.
And that is a sign of just premier bat speed right there. Just a guy that can take a pitch like that and drive it, you know, 400-ish feet to the backside like that. Man, premier bat speed.
And anyone that's watched Dominic Canzone, is this like, it looks like it's going to be it for Dayton, but anyone that's watched Dominic Canzone knows that he is Mr. Exit Velo. Like, everything he hits is hard, and probably because of that bat speed as well, as Gerardo Reyes is going to be the new pitcher for the Bees, so we will step aside. We'll come back with one on and nobody out. Canzone at second, nobody out. The ace is still on the comeback trail. Reyes jogs in. It's Salt Lake 5 and Reno 3. We're back after this call to the bullpen break on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Gerardo Reyes comes in the bottom of the seventh inning. The new pitcher for the Bees, he inherits a runner at second. Dominic Canzone, nobody out. And now Dominic Maroglio will take a strike from Reyes, the right-hander. And it's nothing in one. Maroglio one for two. He doubled and scored as part of Reno's two-run fifth inning. And a chance for Maroglio to pick up an RBI, driving the other Dominic. Here's the 0-1. And a swing and a miss. Maroglio thirsty that time. I don't think he got the pitch he was expecting. 82-mile-an-hour slider from Reyes. And it's nothing in two.
Love the aggressiveness, though. Big hack right here.
Pitch, and Maroglio swings and lifts one toward the left field corner. It's a long run for Torrey Hunter Jr., but that'll be back out of play.
Maroglio with one big homer in the last week, trying to make it two with that swing.
That, you know what, that was kind of a, I don't want to say a similar looking swing, but you know, similar power the other bull side though. Maroglio sitting on that 3-2 slider in Vegas. That was pretty awesome. Gerardo Reyes, the right-hander, made his major league debut with the San Diego Padres in 2019 as that swung on and missed by Maroglio, and he's down on strikes. And that's, I think, what Dom was expecting when he had that big swing, you know, that fastball, which is a power pitch from Reyes. And that time Maroglio got it and was tardy. And it's one on now and one out for the Aces, and Jose Herrera coming up, so a good open for Reyes. Reyes, another guy that is coming back from Tommy John surgery. Here's the pitch. And it is a strike on the outside. 84 on that pitch from Reyes. And it's nothing one to Herrera, who has flied to right and popped to third. Center fielder Duggar is slightly towards left, and the pitch is swung on and lifted to deep right. Going back is Martinez. He's at the warning track. He's at the wall. Reaches up and makes the catch and then braces himself on the fence. Herrera gave it a ride, but not quite deep enough. Canzone tags, advances to third. But now two outs and Camden Dusenak coming up, and DeReyes had to hold his breath on that one. Just missed tying this game on one swing. So now Dusenak, who is 1-for-2 with an RBI, a single in the third, and he got the RBI by grounding out his last time up.
We'll see if that theory holds true. After you make a great defensive play, you usually come up in a big spot on offense.
The pitch, and it's up and in. Ball one, 98 out of the hand of Gerardo Reyes, who signed as an undrafted free agent after a tryout for the Tampa Bay Rays in 2014.
You don't hear about that much. Tryouts.
Pitch is swung on and missed, and it's 1-1 out of Galveston College in Galveston, Texas. We have one of those on our team, the Aces, with Mitchell Stumpo.
No
attended,
kidding.
Attended a tryout out of Guilford College, Division III school.
Unbelievable.
In North Carolina. Hell of a story. Here's the 1-1. And a swing and a pop-up. This is going to be shallow right field. Going out is Gomez. Coming in is Martinez. And Martinez camped will make the catch, and that ends the inning. So Reyes comes in with a runner at second and nobody out, does a heck of a job, gets three outs in order, and does not allow Canzone to cross home plate. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one left. On to the eighth, it's the Bees 5 and the Aces 3 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Top of the eighth inning in Salt Lake, holding on to a two-run lead. Zach Beirute, Jake McKinley, glad to be with you on Nevada Sportsnet tonight as we go to the top of the eighth. And a new pitcher for the Aces is J.B. Bukauskas, who's making his 10th appearance with Reno. Bukauskas, in nine innings, has given up three runs on 12 hits with the Aces. Seven strikeouts, no walks, I beg your pardon. So his ERA is 3 here with the Aces. And he'll face Martinez, who swings and lines one to center, and a nice sliding catch by Corbin Carroll, feet first slide, and Martinez couldn't get that one to sit. Corbin Carroll coming in, doing a nice job with a feet first slide to deprive him of a hit, and that is out number one here in the top of the eighth. Nice play by Corbin Carroll.
Really good play, and I actually kind of saw it in my peripheral, like those things you take for granted with outfielders, like good first step. One thing I've noticed about him, he really does a good job of that pre-pitch. Like, he's kind of jumping into the pitch. And so he got a great jump on that ball. And that was one of those sinking line drives, one of those top spinners in a sense that I was talking about earlier. So really, really impressive play, not only on the catch itself, but getting a good first step there.
With Bukauskas in the game now, the only guy we've yet to see from the Zach Greinke deal is Josh Rojas. So we're not going to see him here tonight. Pitch is slow. And it's one ball and one strike. We've seen Seth Beer, obviously. Corbin Martin started this game, and now J.B. Bukauskas. Shortstop Duzenak shaded toward the middle. And the 1-1 is swung on and fouled back of home plate, and now 1-2 to Mike Ford. Ford's had a perfect night to this point. He's 2-for-2, couple of singles, and he drew a walk and scored as part of that 5-run fourth inning. You think about what could have been in this game for the Aces. 5 runs, none of them earned for Corbin Martin in that fourth inning after 2 up and 2 down to start that inning. The 1-2 is in the dirt, and it's 2 balls and 2 strikes to Ford.
Funky delivery here.
Bukauskas, the 15th overall pick in 2017 out of North Carolina. Out of Stonebridge High School in Ashburn, Virginia. JB's pitch is swung on and missed. 93, and down on strikes goes Mike Ford, the first time that he has been retired tonight. And for Bukauskas, his first strikeout in 2 up and 2 down for JB, and Jose Gomez coming up next. Gomez in from the right side. And he is 0-for-3 tonight. The pitch is swung on and missed, and it's nothing and one. Only time Gomez has been aboard was in the fourth inning, and that was the misplayed fly ball and left by Buddy Kennedy. Gomez playing in his 8th game with the Bees. He homered each of his first 2 games with Salt Lake. 0-1 is outside, 94 on that fastball, and it's 1 ball and 1 strike. By the way, Bukauskas taking over for Caleb Berriger. And Berriger went 1 inning and 2/3 in relief of Martin and did not allow a run. Berriger able to work around a walk to the first batter that he faced, and then a leadoff double by Palamaki in the 7th inning. Obviously, that play by Duzenak that became a double play helped out there, as that is a strike on the front door, and it's 1-2. So Berriger, 1 inning and 2/3, no runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. And Bukauskas looking for a 1-2-3 inning. He's a strike away from it. The 1-2 is swung on and lifted toward the right field corner. Keeps on slicing and will hit off the sidewall down there and right in foul territory. Bukauskas saw his first bit of major league time last season with the D-backs. 21 games, went 2-2, had a 7.79 ERA. He was here with Reno for 13 games, had a 4.26 earned run average. One ball, two strikes. The center fielder Carroll is slightly towards right. Balanced infield, some room to the left of the second base bag for the right-handed hitting Gomez. Orlando Martinez would bat next should Gomez extend this inning, and now Bukauskas is being penalized for a pitch clock violation. So that is an auto ball. And the count to 2 balls and 2 strikes. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's funny. Like I like the pitch clock. I think it's really good for the game.
That one is going to miss, and it's 3-2.
But sometimes the violations, they actually slow the game down because they create an argument, because it's kind of these weird gray areas, and it's like, sometimes these arguments go 3 to 5 minutes long, right? And it's like, well, we're kind of defeating the purpose of what's trying to speed up the game.
3-2 is a breaking ball, strike 3 called, so Bukauskas flips one in to Jose Gomez, and he punctuates a clean inning by striking out back-to-back hitters, Ford and Gomez, to end it. Nothing across for the Bees in that 8th inning, and that is the first clean inning worked by an Aces pitcher tonight. We go to the bottom of the 8th. The Bees 5 and the Aces 3 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. A new pitcher for the Bees as we go to the bottom of the eighth inning. The Aces trailing by two. It's Salt Lake 5 and Reno 3. And the new pitcher is Jose Marte, a 6'3", 180-pound right-hander from Santiago in the Dominican Republic. And he'll face Giancarlo Cintron to begin his outing. So Marte becomes the sixth Salt Lake pitcher of the night. And the pitch to Cintron is swung on and lifted to right center field. A lot of room out there for Duggar, who glides to his left and makes the catch. And on one pitch, there is one out. Cintron, who does have a seven-game hit streak now, he extended it with that infield single in the third. He's now 1-for-4. And with one away, Corbin Carroll coming up. Marte, another guy that came from the Giants organization. He made his Major League debut with the Angels last season. He's been back up with the Angels this year as that's down and in. And ball one to Carroll. But this season with the Angels, he's made 5 appearances. As Carroll hit that home run his last time up. Out to right field, an impressive at-bat by Corbin last time. As that swung on, and that's driven high and deep to right. But that'll wind up in the Truckee River, a majestic foul ball.
Tell you, if you have like a young son that's just starting to play baseball, this is a good guy to model a swing after right here. Model a batting stance, model an approach, a stride, everything.
That one taken for a strike, and it is 1-2. You don't hear much made of stances, but why do you say the stance?
It's simple. I think a lot of times, like especially a younger kid, like maybe just does too much, and you can see like this is an incredibly gifted player, but there's not a whole lot to it right here. You know, it's a simple stance, and then
swinging a drive, that's to right. Martinez is back, and Martinez reaches up at the wall and makes the catch. Boy, the Aces are aiming for that right field fence. You saw Herrera do that last inning in a similar catch made by Martinez. Obviously, Carroll hit it out in the sixth, and he almost hits it out here in the eighth, but did not quite get all of it.
Yeah, and then his move, you know, his stride. He's got a little bit of a toe tap there, but, you know, there's guys that have big leg lifts, and I think that's fine. But I think as a starting point, you know, what we just saw, it's a good starting point. You can find your own identity from there.
Swinging a foul back by Defoe, and it's nothing in one. You know, I never thought about that. That's really interesting that you mentioned and you cite his stance as being something you could model if you're young.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think young kids really should, like, model big leaguers or, you know, really, really good hitters that they like. You know, because obviously, like, they're the best in the world, so why not model them? But I guess in the spirit of being, like, simple and repeatable, that's a good place to start right there, what we just saw.
Did you have a favorite batting stance growing up, like a big leaguer that you just were fascinated by the stance as the 1-1 is taken for a strike and now 1-2?
So Craig Counsell's stance was fascinating. I mean, it's like the most fascinating stance in the history of baseball, and I had the chance to work with him in Milwaukee. But growing up, I really liked John Olerud. Remember John Olerud?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, John Olerud was left-handed, and he had this, like, really, really pretty swing, and you know, I was right-handed, and had this, like, really, like, long, really, like, long, slow swing. So tried to model him, but I really liked him. I liked Robin Ventura. Remember Edgardo Alfonso?
I do.
Yep. So I was obviously a Mets fan growing up.
Okay.
Yeah, a few of those players were guys that I tried to model myself after.
Defoe fouls that one back. Did you ever ask Counsell about why he had that stance?
So, no, it was one of those things I never asked him about, but I've heard him talk about it just, you know, in passing. And, you know, I think the genesis of it was he just wasn't, like, going great and just kind of, like, just did it. And then he went on a little bit of a hot streak, and then it just kind of never went away. I really think that's what it comes from.
2 balls and 2 strikes. That would be fascinating in and of itself. That'd be a great podcast. Like, how did you find your stance? Like, I'd love to, like, a guy like Mickey Tettleton, you know, who always is memorable for me because he just kind of held the bat out, like, lazily and sideways. Here's the 2-2, and it's swung on and missed. And down on strikes goes Defoe, and that ends the inning. So Jose Marte ends a perfect inning with his only strike out of the frame. Nothing across for the Aces in the eighth. And now we go to the top of the ninth, and Reno will try and keep it a 2-run ball game. It's the Bees 5, the Aces 3 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Aces trail by two runs. We go to the top of the ninth. It's the Bees 5, the Aces 3. We were just talking about Mitchell Stumpo earlier as being a great story. We're going to get to see Mitchell Stumpo here in the top of the ninth inning. He takes over for J.B. Bukauskas, who worked a perfect eighth and got back-to-back strikeouts to end it. And Stumpo comes in and faces hitters 6 through 8, Martinez, Hunter, and Palamaki. And Mitchell Stumpo for the Aces is making his 34th relief appearance, 1-2 with a 4.88 ERA. 31 and a third innings, he's given up 17 runs, all earned on 22 hits, 23 walks, 34 strikeouts, again in 31 and a third innings. And the right-hander out of Division III Guilford College will deliver his first pitch to Orlando Martinez, and it is swung on and missed, and it's nothing and one. The bread and butter for Stumpo is that pitch you just saw, the hard slider.
Guilford College, where is that?
In North Carolina.
Okay.
There's the pitch, and it is off the outside, maybe a bit low, and it's 1-1. Greensboro, North Carolina.
Man, baseball's really good in the Carolinas.
The 1-1 is swung on and popped up foul, third base side, and it's now 1-2. So Mitchell Stumpo's last year at Guilford was in 2019. 4-3 with a 4.89 ERA at a Division III school. And he wanted to play pro ball maybe after, you know, after leaving. He thought maybe he'd have a shot, but wasn't drafted, obviously, and was on nobody's radar. As the 1-2 is swung on and pulled to the right side. It's going to be a long range for Defoe. He has it, and now he doesn't. Defoe had it and for a moment, but lost it, and no play at first, so it'll be an infield single, so to speak, for Orlando Martinez. That ball was to the outfield grass. Let's see how close Defoe came, and oh, it was on the transfer. And I mentioned Defoe is such a wizard with the glove, and he was a little too quick for his own good that time.
Yeah, tough play right there, too. Momentum going towards the line like that. Have to kind of throw across his body. But that's a great story. So but open so tryout,
his,
huh?
So his dad said, hey, there's a tryout in Tampa, and there's going to be some pro scouts there, and why don't we drive down, and we'll go – you know, just throw the ball, see what you can do. Is that swung on and miss, and it's nothing in one, Torrey Hunter Jr. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, right? So they go to Tampa, and Mitchell Stumpo says it was like the hand of God touched him that day because he threw as hard as he ever has, like 95, and the Diamondbacks took a flyer on him.
Unbelievable.
He said he had never thrown that hard in his life. As that pitch is in for a strike, and it's nothing in two. He said he doesn't know why, but it just came out of his hand better than it ever had. And so last year he has this ridiculous ascent to Reno that began with the low-A club in Visalia up to Hillsborough, then to double-A Amarillo, and then to the Aces, where he fashioned a 1.50 ERA in six innings with the Aces last year at the end of the season. As that swung on and missed and down on strikes goes Torrey Hunter Jr., and there's that nasty slider from Stumpo. And it's out number one.
Just kind of shows you're never out of the fight. You know what I mean? You always got to keep chasing the dream if it's what you want to do. And I'll tell you what, like, your ticket to the big leagues today is to have an out pitch. And he has an out pitch. And that is a wipeout slider that he's throwing. And that can get you opportunities.
A pitch is in tight, ball one to Jake Palamaki.
He could be one of those guys that maybe goes up and it throws the slider 75% of the time. There's a lot of relievers that are doing that now. It's just everybody in the stadium kind of knows what you're throwing, and the fastball almost becomes your secondary pitch.
That one taken in tight, and it's two balls and no strikes. Palamaki 2-for-3, an RBI single as part of that 5-run fourth inning. He doubled to lead off the seventh, but was doubled up at second base after that. Nice diving catch made by Camden Dusnak. The outfield straightaway, Stumpo on the first base side of the slab deals. And it's low and backhanded by Marolio, who cocks his arm and looks back to first base. And Orlando Martinez is back there standing, so no throw required of Marolio. But it's three balls and no strikes now to Palamaki with Mulrine, the ninth place hitter, on deck.
So here's that famous 3-0 count we were talking about earlier. Unique situation here.
Did you cut him loose here?
Definitely. Definitely I would.
3-0 is taken for a strike. Well, you said you got to be very specific about the pitch you're looking for,
absolutely,
too, right? So even
absolutely.
Though he gets a fastball there, that may not have been in the location he wants. And I've talked with Jake Hager about this. He said, when I swing 3-0, it's literally got to be the pitch that I have zoned in on. Anything else, I'm letting it go by.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the freedom you have.
Grounder to second. Defoe has it. Goes to second for one. Throw to first for two. A double play. And Wilmer Defoe, who almost had that nifty glove work on the ball to start the inning off the bat of Martinez, with a quick release that time, going similarly to his left, turns to second for one. And then Duzenac to first for the twin killing that ends the inning. 4-6-3. And the Aces are out of it in the top of the ninth. No runs, a hit, no errors, and after that, none left. It's last call time here on a Thirsty Thursday to the bottom of the ninth. It's Salt Lake 5 and Reno 3 on Nevada Sportsnet and the Aces Digital Network. Zach Bayrudy, Jake McKinley back with you on Nevada Sportsnet as we go to the bottom of the ninth inning. In a two-run game, the Aces looking for a bloop and a blast here. Trailing the Bees 5-3, and Elvis Piguero will be the new Salt Lake pitcher. And Piguero, the right-hander, is 4-0 with a 3.48 ERA. This is his 25th relief appearance. And he's 3-3 in save chances. 31 innings, he has allowed 12 earned runs on 28 hits. Impressive, 37 strikeouts to 8 walks in 31 innings. So Piguero has been striking a lot of guys out, a lot of swing and miss. And Seth Beer to get this inning started at the dish for Reno. Beer in his return to the Aces tonight is 0-2. He has been aboard. He walked in the fourth. And Piguero delivers, and Beer jackknifes out of the way of that fastball missing inside. Piguero, 6'5", 208 pounds. From Cotuí in the Dominican Republic. Shift is on, 3 to the right of second. Gatewood, the third baseman, playing the shortstop spot. And Beer swings and chops it foul over by the first base on deck circle, and it's 1-1.
Really funky delivery here. You'd think the left-handers are going to give you the best shot to see this guy.
Seth Beer, Buddy Kennedy, Dominic Canzone. If anybody reaches, Dominic Marolio would bat fourth. Here's the 1-1. And a swing and a rope foul off the sidewall down to right field foul territory, and it's now 1-2. Piguero's had 13 games with the Angels this season, and he did not have a record with the Angels, a 6.75 ERA and 17 and a third innings. Piguero nestled on the first base side of the rubber. Righty to lefty, and a pitch. And Beer swings and loops one to left, and it drops in for a base hit, and the Aces have a shot here in the ninth inning. So Seth Beer's first hit back with Reno is timely, and it gives the Aces a start here in the bottom of the ninth. Good-looking swing there from Seth.
Really good, especially with two strikes. I mean, you're not going to be able to tie the game with one swing of the bat there, so, you know, it's your It's a really, really professional two-strike approach there, just doing anything he can to give himself a chance to get on base there, to give the other guys a chance to tie this with one swing of the bat.
And now Seth will be lifted for a pinch runner. Yanni Hernandez over there at first. So here's Buddy Kennedy, and Kennedy is 0-for-3. Kennedy has grounded out twice, once into a double play. He struck out swinging his last time. And the pitch is swung on him, pulled to the left side, deep in the hole. Diving stop by Gatewood from his knees, throw to second, in time to get Hernandez, who can really fly. And that's a big league play there by Jake Gatewood on a bang-bang play at second. And Hernandez forced out for the first out of the inning. Nice play deep in the hole. I don't know. I do not know. I thought Yanni may have gotten his feet in there, and Hernandez couldn't believe it.
Mm.
But a fielder's choice goes 6-4. And no matter if he actually beat it at second base, that's still a really nice play by Gatewood deep in the holes. That's in for a strike.
Yeah, throw from your knees like that, from down under like that, definitely a tough play. But I do agree with you. It looked pretty close.
Canzone more than capable of tying this with one swing. And the pitch is swung on and slapped foul the other way off the facing of the third base dugout. Another look at this play. Frame by frame, and that is bang, bang. Great shot. Devin Galang directing our broadcast, and the camera team had a great look at it. Just so close. Here's the 0-2, and it is going to be a check swing by Canzone as appealed, and no swing, says Lou Williams, third base umpire, who's working the middle of the diamond with the runner at first, Buddy Kennedy. Good call.
It's a good hold. Tough pitch to lay off of.
1-2, the pitch, and Canzone swings and misses. Wipeout pitch there from Piguero. And Canzone maybe thinking he foul tipped it in the dirt. It was in the dirt, but they said he did not foul tip it. Obviously, it's near impossible for us to tell from up here, but Canzone maybe feeling some contact. But he strikes out, and now Elvis Piguero is on the brink of picking up the save. And Dominic Fletcher is going to come up here and pinch hit for Dominic Marolio. Well, Marolio obviously more than capable of having a big time at bat, but I think what Gil Velasquez likes here is the lefty, or the righty lefty. And you're not losing any power here with Fletcher. He's still a guy that can hit a jack for you to tie this game down to your last out. And the pitch, and Fletcher swings and misses, and it's nothing and one.
Yeah, this looks like a guy that would be really tough for a right-hand hitter to see anyways. I like the play here, too.
Mitch is swung on and chopped foul first base side, and now it's nothing and two. This is Luis Lado's game to win, by the way, so Elvis Piguero trying to save it for Luis Lado. Ace is now down to their final strike. The 0-2. And it's in for strike three called. Wow, the ball game is over. And that is Sam Burch's call again. No ABS tonight. So that is strike three to end the ball game and called by the home plate umpire. And that looked like it was way inside on Dominic Fletcher. But Fletch should not have much to say there. That was a tough way to see this ball game end. As Fletcher, the pinch hitter, down looking. And the Aces, who had a start in the ninth inning with that leadoff single by Seth Beer, can't make anything of it. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one left. And our final totals here from Greater Nevada Field, the Bees, 5 runs, 8 hits, and no errors. The Aces, 3 runs, 7 hits, and 3 errors. Luis Lado is the winning pitcher. And Lado for Salt Lake will see his record improve to 2-0. Corbin Martin suffers the loss for the Aces. And for Martin, he sees his record fall to 6-5 in the save to Elvis Peguero, his fourth. Paid attendance tonight was 3,692, 3,692. We'll have the time of our ball game on the post-game portion of our broadcast. Just coming up next after this short break, we'll come back and do a brief post-game wrap. Again, our final score, it's the Bees 5, the Aces 3. We're back to wrap it up next on Nevada Sportsnet of the Aces Digital Network. Welcome back inside Greater Nevada Field. Zach Beirute, Jake McKinley, glad to have had you with us as this has gone final. The Salt Lake Bees have the upper hand in this series now. They lead 2-1 as they win this one by a final of 5-3. And for the Aces, a frustrating night. You see an out there made on the bases as Giancarlo Cintron caught stealing. There were so many instances of hard contact, Jake, that just didn't go the Aces' way. And then the defensive miscues really cost them in that fourth inning. All five Salt Lake runs coming in that fourth inning, and there were two errors. You could make the argument there should have been three errors in that inning, but just a frustrating night overall for Reno.
Yeah, kind of like you mentioned earlier, it's just one of those nights where you just wonder what could have been. You know, you're one pitch away from getting out of that inning, and then the inning just kind of spirals out of control. And then, you know, when you play this many games and this short of a window, those nights happen. These guys are pros. They'll bounce back. But obviously it's one of those nights that you just want to move on from.
Well, let's get you started with the final game totals. The Salt Lake Bees, 5 runs, 8 hits, no errors, and they left 3 stranded. The Aces, 3 runs, 7 hits, 3 errors, and they left 4 stranded. The winning pitcher, Luis Lado, and Lado is now 2-0. The losing pitcher, Corbin Martin, and Martin is now 6-5, and the save to Elvis Peguero. And for Peguero, his 4th save of the season in a game that took 2 hours and 32 minutes to play. The paid attendance was 3,692 on a Thirsty Thursday here at Greater Nevada Field. And taking it back through it, it was a scoreless game until we got to the top of the 4th inning. And it looked like it was going to stay scoreless going to the bottom of the 4th. But with two outs and the bases empty after Corbin Martin got the first 2 batters in that 4th inning, the Bees got started. Mike Ford with a walk, and then Jose Gomez had a sinking line drive to left field. Buddy Kennedy is an infielder by trade. He just didn't gauge it right off the bat. And Kennedy with a misplay in left in E7, and that kind of opened the floodgates. Orlando Martinez, a 2-run double. Torrey Hunter Jr. with a walk. The 2-run double, by the way, was a ball that could have been handled by Seth Beer. Went off his glove. They ruled it a double, not an error. I probably would have leaned error, but that is not our call. But Martinez, technically a 2-run double. There was an error on a throw in from Canzone on that same play where Martin was not backing up the plate. That led to another run and then an RBI single for Palamaki. But when the dust had settled, all 9 came up for the Bees that inning. And they got 5 runs, 2 hits on 2 errors. And they had a 5-0 lead. And Martin, none of those runs were earned for him. He went 5-1/3. He gave up 5 unearned runs on 6 hits, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. But, Jake, I was impressed with the way Corbin finished his outing. He finished strong despite what happened behind him in that 4th inning.
Yeah, I think it's one of those outings where you really do have to take the positives away from that. And as a team, you have to take the positives away from this. Like, you're going to lose baseball games throughout the year, obviously. It's going to happen at all levels. But there's a lot of things that the Aces did well tonight. And I think collectively, if you take away, sort of that third of an inning where things did kind of spiral out of control, the Aces were the better team on the field tonight. They outplayed the Bees. Collectively, it was just that little window. So, you know, it's damage control, and obviously they have a nice cushion in the standings. But it's one of those nights you just got to forget about, and you go get them tomorrow.
For the Aces, they scored two runs in the fifth inning. They had back-to-back doubles. Canzone, who had the first double, had to wait because Maroglio's double was a blooper. And then a balk allowed the first run to score, and then Maroglio would score on a ground out by Camden Dusnak. That made it 5-2. The Aces got their final run of the game on a leadoff homer in the sixth by Corbin Carroll. And Carroll almost homered again in the eighth inning to a similar spot, but he flied out to the warning track slash wall and right. But to Carroll, 1-for-4 with that home run. That made it 5-3. And then the Aces had some starts. They had a leadoff double from Canzone in the seventh inning, but Gerardo Reyes came in and got three batters out quickly, did a nice job there, and then the leadoff single by Seth Beer in the ninth. The bang-bang fielder's choice force play at second with Yanni Hernandez, the pinch runner, and then back-to-back strikeouts of Canzone and Fletcher, and that last strike called pitch that came down to Fletcher was a tough call there. That's a strike three off the inside. No ABS tonight. And, yeah, of course, that's how this game ends, right?
Yeah, that's a tough way to end it right there for sure.
But anyways, our final totals again, the Bees, 5 runs, 8 hits, no errors, they left 3. The Aces, 3 runs, 7 hits, 3 errors, they left 4. Luis Leto, the win now, 2-0. Corbin Martin, the loss, he is 6-5. And Elvis Piguero, his 4th save in a game that took 2 hours, 32 minutes, 3,692 are paid attendance. Tomorrow, the Aces are back at it, trying to even the series at 2 games apiece, 6:35 here at Greater Nevada Field. Big crowd expected for fireworks. Robinson Pena for the Bees and Ryan Nelson for the Aces, the starting pitching matchup. We'll have it on MILB TV and the Aces Digital Network. Jake, it was so nice working with you, man, and we wish you all the best as you continue to build that program through your vision at Nevada. So we're going to be behind you 100%. Thanks for coming on, man. This was a lot of fun tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was great. My first ever color experience, so just kind of going through it as we were getting to each spot, but it was a lot of fun.
Hey, man, you aced it. You
aced it. That's nice.
Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in. Thanks to Devin Galang, our director tonight, and his terrific camera team. Again, for Jake McKinley, off to my left, I'm Zach Beirutti, saying so long from Greater Nevada Field. Again, our final score tonight, the Salt Lake Bees 5 and the Reno Aces 3. This has been Reno Aces Baseball on Nevada Sportsnet.